Mount San Antonio College, Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. It is our custom to begin our public sessions with a flag salute. I've asked the president of our Academic Senate, Dan Smith, to lead us in the flag salute this evening. Dan, okay?
Please place your right hand over your heart and
begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now I'm going to ask, and it's a sad thing that I'm asking for, I'd ask us to take a few moments of silence for those who were who died and injured a week ago today at the San Bernardino County Health Center, Regional Center. We pray for those who are still hospitalized, and we pray for all the families that are in mourning. So would you join me just for a few minutes in silence for these victims? Thank you very much. We will move on with the evening's business, and it's, you know, a great day when our board has new members, and when it has elected, you know, re-elected members, and we're going to administer the oaths for three board members this evening. And the first is going to be the swearing in of Manuel Baca, and that's going to be conducted by President Bill Scroggins.
I state your name.
I, Manuel Baca.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
And that I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties upon which I am about to enter.
The duties upon which I am about to enter. Thank you, sir.
Congratulations.
Our second swearing in this evening will be for my colleague Roseanne Bader, and it will be conducted by her husband Chuck Bader. If you do not know this, Chuck is the former two-term mayor of the city of Pomona and the four-term state assembly member from this area, and you know, is well known to all of us involved in public service in this area. So we welcome Chuck here this evening to swear in his wife.
Faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Congratulations, Trustee Bailey.
That's probably one of the few times when Roseanne has followed Chuck. Is that fair to say?
No, don't start anything.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Maybe. I just said I'm speculating. I don't know. Okay. And now we have the swearing in of the our new board member, Jay Chen. We are greatly honored to have that done for this evening. By the California State Treasurer, John Chang. I'm going to say a few words about John, because we don't see him that often over here, although he has been here before, we know that. He graduated with honors from the University of South Florida with a degree in finance, received his law degree from Georgetown University Law School. As State Treasurer, he oversees a bank that processes trillions of dollars in transactions every year. He sells California's bonds, invests the state's money, and manages its cash. Prior to being elected as treasurer, he served 2007 through 2014 as a well-known and illustrious state controller. And before that, he served as a member of the Board of Equalization between 1998 and 2007. So we are glad to have you, and we're honored to have you, John. And if you want to say a few words before you swear in, Jay, you can do that as well, okay?
Well, thank you, Dr. Hall. To the distinguished members, congratulations. You have extraordinary responsibilities. We know that the seed corn for California success is the investment in the education of our kids. And so you have them at a very critical juncture. You have them at a very important time in California's economy. We understand that California needs a million more graduates who perform above, who attain above a high school education. And so you are at that transition point that signals whether California has a vibrant and prosperous future. And so you have a first-rate board. I look forward to what we can do at the state level to ensure and support your success. And then Jay, I am absolutely delighted. You are a sparkling star whose ascendancy is not about ascending, but it's about helping people, right? Your feet are firmly rooted in the community, and I know that your participation, your vigor, your dreams, and partnership with your colleagues, the best is yet to come for this district. So, Jay, congratulations to all of you. I hope, you know, I was sharing with Chuck how I love the pledge. You know, we are one nation, right, and we're not supposed to be divided. And so despite the fact that the democratic process can be incredibly difficult, we aspire together. So good luck to all.
Jay? Okay. Come on.
Wow.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I.
Please state your name.
Jay Chen.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties upon which I am about to enter.
The duties upon which I am about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Anderson and Manuel. Okay.
And you only get elected once to this position. I just want to take this opportunity to thank a lot of the people who made this possible. First, to State Treasurer John Chung. This is actually the third oath that he's overseen for me. The first one was for school board. The second one was for my wedding. And now, so he's been with me at every pivotal moment of my life. And I just think I'm so lucky to have him as a friend, and California is so lucky to have him as a leader. And thank you for your service to our state, and we look forward to even greater things from you serving California and beyond. So thank you, John. I also want to just thank my supporters. So many people have come out today, and they represent what my campaign was about. We have volunteers here, people like Willis and Andrew, who called me every day to ask when they were going to go precinct walking. They're the ones that really pushed me to go precinct walking, because I didn't want to let them down. So, and we have supporters, people like Frank Sue, people like Gary Chow is out here too, people like Betty Tang, who contributed monetarily. And taking the path of politics, as everyone here knows, who's run for office, can be a very lonely endeavor. And when you have support like that, it makes you feel that much less alone, that this is something you're doing for the entire community. So thank you to the supporters and to all the other electeds, because you know the path that we've taken. People like ex-Mayor Suki Kang, my colleague Anthony Duarte, who I am now leading from Hacienda La Puente, and Ida McMurray as well. And of course, I want to thank my family, my parents, Kelvin, Dr. Kelvin Chen, Nain Chen, Evelyn Huang, Angelo Ravuzzo. They are the backbone behind my campaign. My dad is the yard sign machine. He's the one that tells me when I miss a yard sign somewhere, where I have to put it. And finally, while a campaign is difficult, being pregnant is that much more difficult. While I was running, my wife, wonderful wife Karen, was carrying our second child, Carver, and when we went to Roseanne Bader's ceremony, that's when Carver said, all right, this is it, I'm coming out. So that night, Carver decided to pop out, motivated by, you know, this new experience we're about to have with Mount SAC. And I also want to thank the board of trustees. You guys have made Mount SAC such a wonderful place. Thank you for even making it possible for me to run by recognizing that a district of this size needs more than just five board members. And thank you for guiding it to where it is right now. And I recently had a chance to meet with a lot of the deans here. And he just, you hear that? Okay, good. He needs to change. I had a great chance to meet with all the deans. And the one constant that I have found is that there is a lot of longevity and a lot of loyalty to Mount SAC. There are people who've been here for 20, 30 years, very similar to Hacienda La Puente. They all share this deep, abiding respect for the institution and a deep commitment to student success. That is just completely evident. And so I'm just so honored that today I can join them and finally call myself a Mountie as well. Thank you very much.
Well, if you've seen the agenda for this evening, the next step we'll be moving into is election of Board of Trustees officers for this coming year. Some of you may want to stay for this, and the introductions and recognitions and everything that we'll be going through, and some of you may not. So I'm just telling you that we will have no problem with you excusing yourself if you have other things to do this evening, but you're our guests, and certainly stay with us if you choose to do that. So, as I said, the next item on our agenda is election of Board of Trustees officers. This is required within 15 days of the first Friday in December that we do this. There's some backup information in your board package about this. And so I'm going to begin. It's our tradition at Mount SAC to elect a clerk, a vice president, and a president. And I'm going to begin with the election of the clerk first. Okay, so I'm going to entertain a motion for nominations for clerk of the Mount SAC Board of Trustees for the coming year.
I nominate Trustee Emmanuel Baca.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, been moved by Trustee Bader and seconded by Trustee Chen Hagerty that Manuel Baca be elected clerk of the board. Any discussion? If not, I'm going to call for the question, okay? All in favor of electing Manuel Baca as clerk of the Mount SAC board, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Manuel Baca will serve as our clerk. Okay, now I'm going to proceed to electing a vice president of the board for the coming year. Do I hear any motions regarding that?
I will nominate Roseanne Bader as a vice president.
Okay, it's been moved that Roseanne Bader be selected as our next vice president of the board. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Robert Hidalgo, Trustee Hidalgo. Any discussion? Student trustee, I blew right past that. Hearing no discussion, I will call for the question. Student trustee Santos, how do you vote?
I concur.
She concurs. All in favor of electing Roseanne Bader as the vice president of the board, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. And then I'll move to the election of the president of the board for the coming year. Do I hear any motions regarding that?
I nominate Judy Chen Hagerty.
Been moved by Trustee Baca to elect Judy Chen Hagerty. Nominate Judy Chen Hagerty. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Trustee Hidalgo. Any discussion? If not, I'll call for the question. Student Trustee Santos, how do you vote?
I concur.
She concurs. All in favor of making Judy Chen Hagerty the next president of the Board of Trustees, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. And so, Judy, you are now the president of the board, and I'm going to hand you that gavel, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. So the rest of the meeting is yours.
Thank you.
President Chen Hagerty, I'd like to take the opportunity to do a brief recognition of outgoing President David Hall.
Absolutely.
Dr. Hall, thank you for your service to the board.
Okay.
To commemorate your time on the board and your sterling leadership, here's a plaque recognizing the years of your service.
Thank you.
And a ceremonial crystal.
Didn't we have one of these broken?
I did.
At some point in time.
I was told to take very good care of this.
I remember we shattered one of these at some point in time. Well,
congratulations.
Thank you.
On your service. I appreciated working with you.
Well, thank you so much. And Judy, I guess I do have a gavel as well as you.
You have the real one.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, as John said when he was here, as we all know, you know, this is a big institution with lots of responsibilities, and not everybody is going to always agree about what we, you know, what we should be doing and how we do it. But we try to do it in an open and democratic way. We're listening to people, different points of view, and all I can say is, it's a great honor to serve and to have just served as president of the Board of Trustees of what I think all statistics would say is the best community college in the United States of America. I don't think there's any way you could say otherwise based on all the awards, all the championships, all the recognition, and the trustees are, you know, somewhat responsible for this, but we know on a day-to-day basis it's the president, the vice presidents, the deans, the faculty, the staff that really make this place, the class, you know, everybody. It's those people who make this the best community college in the United States. And it's a great honor to be serving as the public's representatives here at this institution. So thank you for this honor. I appreciate it. Okay.
Okay. Let's continue on the agenda. There is no item action taken in the closed session. So moving forward, introduction and recognition of the following newly appointed and promoted employees, and I believe we have it's under classified employee. We have Nolan Katnicko. Yes, as a technician, performing arts operation, master electrician. You come up here, say a few words.
Good evening, everyone, members of the board. Well, I guess I will. Good evening again. My name is Nolan Katengoop. As said, I am filling in the position for master electrician under technical services with William Eastham, Bill Eastham. Really honored to be part of the Mount Sac family now. Look forward to being here many years.
Okay.
Questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Welcome. The management employee, Morrow, Ivan.
I believe he's going to be introduced
is he here?
In January.
I see what I can do to get this
That's what my notes say.
Okay. So,
okay.
Not
okay.
Here. Okay. Well, we welcome him anyway. Then there are a couple more. I don't think they are here. Is a classified employee, Wilton Tan, the senior system analyst. And then we have a recognition, but Jane DeVito is not here with the 25 years of service, administration specialist, art division. So we thank her for her service. Next item is approval of the minutes. Approval of minutes of the regular meeting of November 18, 2015. May I have a motion, please?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. I'll call for the question. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Oppose? Okay. The minutes is approved. Now come to public communication.
You've got some cards.
All this item, the board, at this time, the Board of Trustees will listen to communication from the public on the matter that are not on the agenda. Under provision of the Brown Act, the board is prohibited from discussion or taking action on oral requests that are not part of the agenda. Comments are limited to no more than 3 minutes per person. So I have four cards here. Number one is Juarez. Alejandro? Not here. Okay, Layla?
Taylor.
Oh, Mansfield, want to come first?
Yeah, I'll go in front of
okay,
Layla.
Sure.
That's all right. Before my 3 minutes starts,
sit down.
Congratulations
first.
To the newly elected trustee member and the re-elected trustee member, as well as Mr. Baca as well. Before my 3 minutes starts, though, just as a general statement before the three, can I request that you all look into, please, having these minutes, these meetings recorded. In my capacity as a lawyer in a lot of litigation against school districts, every school district that I've ever had a case with, they record their meetings, their public meetings, so there's an accurate record of what happens in them. You do record
them?
We
do record them.
Okay. Then I withdraw that. Are you giving out free CDs of these?
The recordings are available in perpetuity. We have posted them online as part of the minutes.
They'll be part of the minutes from now.
Is this new?
It is.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right.
Always trying to be one step ahead of you, Mansfield.
Well, you know, you always put me in a position of reigning on such a great parade of enthusiasm and joy and celebration, and this really was one that, you know, there was a lot of celebration for the new board members and I guess the start of a new term for Ms. Haggerty. For the record, my name is Mansfield Collins. I have been a resident of Walnut for 29 years. I attended the University of California at Irvine. I graduated with a Bachelor's of Arts degree. I attended the University of California at Los Angeles Law School. I obtained a Juris Doctorate degree. I did this not only for myself, but for my family and my community. I've got to get something off of my mind, and I knew that I had to type it or else I would forget about it. I grew up during the Civil Rights Movement. This was a time in the history of this country when outright racism, segregation, and prejudice existed. It was in our courts, police, housing, elections, and employment. Outright racism, segregation, and prejudice also existed in education. Black Americans had to sit at separate counters, use separate restrooms, water faucets, right in the back of buses. My father was one of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s best friends. I met Martin Luther King Jr. when I was in junior high school, who was at our house many times. I was fortunate because in my house, we discussed politics, social justice, standing up for what you believe in, preaching the gospel, peaceful protesting, when you had no other option, ultimately going to court when all else failed. I know how change works for the better and for the worse. Suffice it to say, I believe in education and its virtues. I believe that it is the greatest equalizer for opportunity, mobility, personal growth, self-awareness, understanding your God-given and constitutional rights, the right to vote and organize, and political and community awareness. I also believe in modern classrooms and quality teachers. I believe in new teaching equipment, from microscopes to computers. I also believe teachers are underpaid. I believe that when you ask students to come to Mount SAC, they shouldn't have to wait 5 or 6 years to graduate. This is a form of deception. I believe in a public not-for-profit. I'll repeat that. I believe in a public not-for-profit school system and not a public for-profit school system. My blood boils and I cringe when anyone has the audacity to question my commitment to education. Because I oppose, just because I oppose, locating a 5-story parking structure within 125 feet of the residence of Walnut when other space is available. I cringe when anyone has the audacity to question my commitment to education because I oppose the location of a solar generating plant within 75 feet of the residence of Walnut. I cringe when anyone has the audacity to question my commitment to education because I oppose a track and athletic complex when dollars for education are so hard to come by and they are not being spent on modernizing classrooms or on teachers' salary. In reality, you know my commitment to education. You are against my right to protest. Unlike yours, my grandfathers, grandmothers, great aunts, and great uncles and aunts were beaten, spat on, terrorized, called derogatory names in the battle of securing an education for all. Any attempt to demonize me, my friends, and the residents and elected officials of Walnut behind closed doors will not be tolerated. I have not given up on intellectual honesty, but I will fight against intellectual dishonesty. What does it mean to be intellectually honest? One, listen and consider honest facts, not conjecture and anecdote, and review them with an open mind and clear head. Two, think with your head and not with your heart. Tap into your soul. A conscience resides that is elusive at times. Four, don't say one thing to someone's face and do the opposite when they turn their back to you. Stop judging on first impressions. Remember tolerance, patience, and common interests. Stop thinking with your intuition, which is nothing more than a self-centered source of rationalization. Seek understanding, cooperation, and compromise. Stop with this us against them drumbeat of division. Lastly, respect all people and all races. Good leadership is intellectually honest. Do your own homework like you impress upon your students. Think about this. Putting a solar farm at the corner of Temple and Grand would be like putting your next door neighbor's putting solar panels in his front yard or his swimming pool in his front yard. Oh my, would you protest? Think about it. Solar panels should go on top of existing structures when available and on paved ground when available and not destroy disappearing natural habitat. Think about it. I am not against solar energy or the benefits of solar energy for Mount SAC. What I am against is Mount SAC putting a solar farm in its front yard and on land surrounded by Walnut Homes. I also have grave concerns about the public safety of this massive land clearing, grading, and construction project and the absolute potential for loss of life of Walnut residents, construction workers, accidents, and animals, including pets. Think about it. All of this can be avoided by relocating the solar generating plant to an area on the Mount Sac campus. The hillside at the temple at Temple and Grand is not a campus. It is undeveloped natural habitat. Think about it, and then think about it some more. Costs, protests, litigation, elections. Who will pay for it? I do not believe in for-profit businesses run by public school systems, whether it is an electrical utility company or food court. Just to mention, any trustee who accepted money from any contractors in Mount Sac must disqualify him or herself from any votes to avoid a conflict of interest. The price paid for an ill-conceived location of the solar plant will be long-lasting and dog you wherever you go in your public service or political careers. Stop this project now. Stop this project now. Relocate the solar generating plant. Relocate the solar generating plant today. Relocate the solar generating plant tonight. Use that money to modernize classrooms and pay teachers what they deserve. Thank you for letting me go over.
Thank you. Okay, Lila.
I actually would like to congratulations, first of all, for Mr. Chen and Trustee Bader and Baca for your reelection. And I hope this coming year brings better vibes between the city of Walnut and Mount Sac. I actually wanted to address consent item number 4, but I'm not sure that you are going to be discussing it, so I'm going to be presenting my comments right now. I'm here representing United Walnut taxpayers, and as a community taxpayer group, we have grave concerns over the waste or potential waste of taxpayers' funds that are being allocated to Tilden and Coyle for phase one of the parking structure project. From the outset, the decision to proceed with this project, knowing that there are two, not one, but two potential litigation cases, is a very flawed decision. Knowing there's pending litigation, your fiduciary duty would have been to include in the contract a protective clause limiting any future liability and proceeding very cautiously to avoid unwarranted expenses. That is not reflected in either the contract or the invoice presented here to the public today. Instead, what is provided shows no explanation as to why Tilden and Coyle should be getting 22% of the total of phase one contract amount with absolutely no detail of the exact work performed. As far as we could tell, they dug some trenches and then they had to refill them due to the court order. Was that 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5% of the work that was completed? Nobody knows. Again, no justification as to why reimbursing them 22% of the total contract. Even the project total that was used in the invoice was wrong. The project total on the invoice was $8,418,000 approximately, and that doesn't actually match the actual contract that you have with Tilden and Coyle, which was $8,407,000. I ask each and every one of you trustees today if you know what exactly Tilden and Coyle has performed in terms of work on the first phase of the parking project that would entail them to get 22% of that project amount, total project amount. On the other hand, there is the court order, which was very clear, the preliminary injunction detailing what the court felt was a fair amount of potential money loss based on the work performed, which was a total of $127,000. That included $112,000 for a change order and $15,000 to restore the building site to a safe condition. So the court viewed that the total amount of Tilden and Coyle's work up until the time they issued the preliminary injunction was a fair amount, was $127,000. How that mushroomed to approximately $2 million without any documentation detailing why that inflated cost is a very scary and fishy issue for us taxpayers. There really appears to be something not kosher or fishy in the arrangement that Mount SAC has with Tilden and Coyle. We're also very concerned about where the Oversight Committee is in all of this. How could the Oversight Committee have approved something like $2 million for work which was minimally completed with no detail of exactly what was done to warrant that kind of amount? These are taxpayers who are appointed specifically to represent our best interest. And they are the custodians of our taxpayers' funds. To approve the payment of over $2 million without any justification is something that really warrants to you as Board of Trustees to look into and see how the Oversight Committee would have approved something like this. Now, if there is documentation showing more specific work that has been completed, we recommend that you share that with the public, and obviously it needed to be presented here today if you're approving this kind of money. Finally, on your agenda, it shows that you're using Measure RR funds. That would be a contempt of court if used. I heard later on today that you are possibly not using Measure RR funds, and I certainly hope that's the case, because that would be in contempt of court. The judge made it very clear you cannot use any money on any aspect of the parking structure from Measure RR. I ask that you, in conclusion, I ask that you revisit the lease-leaseback arrangement that you went into with Tilden and Coyle. I know that was terminated, but look into why you went into something like that when a lease-leaseback is normally done for, a shortage of funds. There was no shortage of funds. As taxpayers, we view that this was done really primarily to circumvent the bidding process, and that's scary to us. I ask you to review our attorney's letter that I hope you have been provided with, urging you to vote no on this consent item number 4. And I ask you that you look very closely to all the transactions you have with Tilden and Coyle and do your fiduciary duty in protecting our taxpayers' money. I strongly recommend that you review the role of your oversight committee and ensure that, in fact, doing what is required of them by law to safeguard our money. Thank you.
Thank you. Next one is John Schuller.
Good evening. How are y'all? I am Joan Schollers. I teach mathematics here, but I'm here because I put this on your desk, and I'm here because I'm so proud of our faculty here at Mount SAC that I wanted you guys to see the adjunct faculty, the list of them, and what their colleagues had to say about them at the adjunct faculty celebration in October. I wasn't able to make the November meeting because I was ill, but I still wanted you guys to see this. We have some great faculty here, both full-time and adjunct faculty. And I think that, I want us to celebrate them. And I wanted you guys to know how much that I think our faculty are some of the best faculty ever. And they deserve everything, all the respect and honors that we could give them. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Except for congratulations to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think Juarez here. Is he?
Hello, hello. My name is Alejandro Shipecoa Juarez, and I'm a student at Mount SAC. I'm also part of Executive Board and Associated Students. I'm the Vice Interclub Council Chair. And today, I just wanted to express myself about Indigenous Peoples Day, about Resolution Number 2 that will be talked about, by Associated Students. It's very important to the interests of students, because it's something very small and a lot of people don't really recognize it, but as an Indigenous citizen of the Americas, to me it's very significant because it recognizes Indigenous peoples, the First Nation peoples of this land, and also raises consciousness of who we are, and we're still present and we still are here practicing our ceremonies and our traditions and our culture, which is very important to the foundation. We are left out of history most of the time. It is not his story. It's It's not our story, it's his story, unfortunately, but this raises a big awareness about us indigenous people, and I'm just very happy that this motion, that this resolution has passed, and I support it, and many students, just to let you guys know, many students as well support it, and just, it's a very, very big thing to people in the community, as well as inside the community and future generations to recognize this. Since elementary or school, we've always been taught about Columbus Day, about how positive it was. But later then we know, and we start to educate ourselves and look more deeply into our history, it really wasn't something to glorify. What we should really be recognizing is the indigenous people who manage many generations and many, many centuries have been oppressed, whatever it may be, but Indigenous Peoples Day, and we're looking forward to continuing the celebration and making it bigger than just a day, possibly involving the indigenous community inside here that we're still here and being recognized. But thank you very much, and congratulations, Mr. Chen, and thank you for letting me speak, and all of you have a good day. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, no other cards. We're moving forward to reports, starting with associated students.
Good evening, everyone. Greetings, members of the board, audience, recurring members. Thank you for stopping by every meeting once a month. You don't have to be here, but they care, and that's a good thing to see. Also, Joan, that's great what you did. That's true leadership right there. That's incredible. But so on with my report. On behalf of all the students, I'd like to thank Megan Chen and her wonderful staff for once again extending the library hours this week. It was a collective effort that included public safety, custodial services, information technology, the Library and Learning Resources Division office, and also associated students. Thank you all that helped ensure student success during this hectic time we call Finals Week. This week during Finals, Associated Students is also hosting a week-long event called Finals Frenzy. AS officers and club members are volunteering some of their valuable study time to help encourage student success by distributing snacks and testing resources in our Student Life Center. We also dedicated time and space in our study hall, which is the Student Life Center, to better serve our student needs. We provided a quiet and peaceful learning environment that definitely helped. We have passed legislation to support multicultural awareness. This legislation calls for our future student handbooks to remove Columbus Day from the calendar and replace it with Indigenous People Day, which models premier colleges and universities around this nation. This provided for you in Resolution 2 in the handout. Gilbert, president of NASPA, which is a club on campus. Can you join me? So I'm going to read the resolution too. Whereas student representatives of associated students believe that it is in its best interest of the students to recognize Indigenous People Day instead of Columbus Day in Mount San Antonio College student handbook and in all school calendars where Columbus Day is mentioned. Columbus Day celebrates the eradication and colonialization of the Native people territory. Christopher Columbus was one of the first people that were responsible for the enslavement, deaths, and rape of thousands of Native people in the Americas. By recognizing the contributions of the indigenous people and cultures, we cultivate a richer dialogue in our immediate collegiate environment and into our extended communities. Be it resolved that the AS Senate, the AS Executive Board, and the AS President approve the change from Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day in the student handbook and in all school calendars where Columbus Day is currently mentioned. Like I said, Gilbert, President of NASPA, is here to speak on its behalf.
Good afternoon. Good evening. My name is Gilbert Alexander Marquez, and I'm the president of the Native American Intertribal Student Alliance. And I'm also a non-traditional student. And this resolution is the culmination of students asking why do we continue to either acknowledge or indirectly not acknowledge the holiday, even if it's in the handbooks. And so as a result of the footwork and cooperation of a lot of clubs on campus, like Mecha, Ideas, Culture Shock, we did the footwork and we wanted to present it to the trustees in hopes of promoting a healing and positive dialogue and an inclusive environment in Mount SAC. The dominant narrative has been has marginalized indigenous peoples of the world throughout the Americas, the Aboriginal populations, and You know, I brought sage as a symbol today because we burn sage in ceremony, and the sage is, it's for cleansing, it's for healing. And that's what we think Indigenous People Day would mean. It would mean that we promote a dialogue of healing and a discussion about these things, because as college students, we become informed and we learn how to think critically about how we choose to go into our communities and how we choose to go out into the world and make the world the what it is today. You know, it would be to the benefit of Mount SAC students to have an inclusive, all-inclusive holiday to acknowledge the contributions of the Indigenous populations throughout the world. All right, and thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert and Alex, for really taking lead on this and just showing the students that, you know, we can change things on campus. And continue with my report. Lastly, this winter, associated students will have two institutional effectiveness meetings. Thank you, Irene, for the extended pack. You and your team just really showed us the way. So we're going to try to apply some things we learned in extended pack and just PI overall. And hopefully we can tweak AS a little bit. But so we're going to go over meetings to set up priorities, review overall effectiveness, projects, governing procedures, and long-term goals. Thank you, Board, Vice Presidents, President Scroggins, for just exhibiting professionalism, guiding us, and just true leadership, really. It's astounding to me. Just one semester in my role, I've just learned so much, and I'm trying to absorb all of it. And it's quite a challenge, but I'm getting there. So it was a great semester, a valuable learning experience, not just for me, but for all AS leaders on campus. It's just, that's what it's about, you know, learning and improving. And once again, congratulations, Trustee Chen, the newly appointed officers of the Board of Trustees, and just overall good semester. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Academic Senate, Dan.
Good evening, everyone. Our full Senate had its last meeting on December 3rd, and we took a number of actions. I want to highlight some of the main ones here. We appointed faculty to the Reassigned Time Task Force, which we'll take a look at those issues. Also, we're having more faculty on the Workforce Report Task Force, which I'll be shepherding over the winter time. We appointed Jeff Archibald and Scott Guth to represent the faculty at the AACC Pathways Project Gatherings, which will be taking place over the next 2.5 years. And I'll be joining Judy Chin Haggerty and several other people there in working on those models. We appointed faculty to the College Textbook Affordability Work Group and also approved the revision of the college mission statement, which was in turn approved at PAC today. So we have a revision of our mission. We also approved Resolution 215-06, which is support for the Chancellor's Office Task Report on Accreditation. And the following resolves are in that. We endorse the recommendations of the California Community College Chancellor's Office 2015 Task Force on Accreditation Report. And we support the ongoing work of the Accreditation Steering Committee, Faculty Accreditation Coordinator, and Accreditation Liaison Officer to cooperate with the ACCJC in preparation for the college's upcoming self-study and site visit in January 2017. The Student Equity Plan, information tonight, but tomorrow, our next meeting, the Executive Board will consider the Student Equity Plan and act on behalf of the full Senate in doing so, again, to provide timely approval and consideration of these important issues. And lastly, I wanted to welcome our newest member of the Board of Trustees, Mr. Jay Chen. Looking forward to working with you, and very glad to have you here. And, of course, I want to congratulate our newly reelected members, Manuel Baca and Judy Chin Haggerty. My apologies. I'll go through the various shades of red and move forward. Yes, congratulations. Looking forward to this coming year. So thank you. And if I don't say it otherwise, happy holidays.
Thank you, Dan. Classified Senate, John.
Ah, there it goes. Okay. Too many. Okay. First, I want to welcome our new board member, Jay Chin. I met you before the meeting, and looking forward, all the classified, I'm sure, are looking forward to getting to know you. Congratulations to Manuel and to Roseanne, and also the newly elected officers. The Great Retreat Task Force met on December 3rd. There was discussion and decision on the following: finalizing the timeline for the event, creating an application for applying to attend, including a template and selection process, identifying possible facilitators. Randy Smith will be the lead facilitator, structuring and planning facilitator training, and they meet again on January 7th. The task force has been and will continue to report their efforts and progress to Classified Professional Development Committee, or CPDC. Members of CPDC have weighed in with suggestions for the retreat, and those were taken back to the task force for review. The location is still the UCLA Conference Center in Lake Arrowhead, and the dates are May 4th, 5th, and 6th. It is a lot of anticipation is building, and the classified are really excited. So I'm sure we're going to have a good time and learn a lot of great stuff. I just noticed this should be number two. But anyway, number three. Classified Senate has formed a subcommittee to begin planning this spring's Classy Excellence Awards. We put a lot of time into planning that to make it just right. And the committee's first meeting began with the script outlines. So that you'll be hearing more on. The Classified Professional Development Committee, CPDC, has continued providing the Classified Retreat Task Force with their suggestions and reviews, and they will continue to do so. So there's a good communication there. And CPDC itself will begin at our next meeting, which is we're going to meet early so we don't miss a meeting. That's the 15th, I think. We will begin reviewing collective bargaining language that references professional development to identify how CPDC can provide support and guidance in order to improve classified staff workshop attendance and learning. And that's my report.
Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. Next,
good evening. Well, the Faculty Association has reviewed the results of its negotiation survey, and after some discussion by our exec board, we have sent the district our intent to bargain in order to start negotiations in late January. We anticipate that in such negotiations will be an item for your consideration on the January board agenda. At the December FA Rep Council meeting, the council approved its position on the 2017-18 academic calendar. Now, it happens to be the same position as Dr. Scroggins has previously mentioned he holds, so negotiations on the topic will probably be quite brief. We also approved our local 2016 Faculty Association elections timeline. I have a 2-year term, so I'm not up for re-election, but Joan is, as well as the majority of our exec board. In addition, we authorized a student email time tracking project. We are hearing from faculty that students are showing up at office hours less and less, but they are still contacting us quite a bit, and we're attempting to determine just how much that might be. A resolution of concern regarding a campus police department was introduced. I do not know whether it will pass, nor do I know the final language, but there is some concern amongst the faculty about us having our own local police department. I'll be able to let you know, probably at the March meeting, what the outcome of that is. We have three conferences that we send faculty to each year. The winter conference is going to be in Manhattan Beach on the 19th through 21st of February. And I'm happy to announce we have a full delegation. I'll be leading 17 faculty, and they will be learning about collective bargaining and leadership primarily. And then finally, on behalf of the faculty, I'd like to welcome the returning board members. Frankly, I didn't expect you to lose, Dr. Baca, and same's true for you, Trustee Bader. Jay Chen was a little bit more in question, but I'd like to point out that Trustee Chen was very well regarded by the faculty at his prior trusteeship. We spent some time talking to the teachers at Hacienda La Puente, and they had good things to say. So we look forward with working with you over the next 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. CSEA 262, Bill.
Good evening, everyone. I want to start off by, as others have, congratulating Roseanne, who I've had the pleasure of working with on a few of her campaigns, and Manuel, who I think so far has been fairly unopposed over the years. So I think it's wonderful that you guys got reelected. And Jay, congratulations. I've known you for several years now, I guess. And I know that when you were getting ready to throw your hat in the ring, the folks over at Hacienda La Puente called and said, you really need to take a look at this guy and get him on your board, because here's a quality person that will do great work for the college. So we're looking forward to working with you over the next few years as well. It's also along the lines of elections. Our chapter elections will be occurring next week. We have a little different structure, kind of like the Faculty Association does. We elect half 1 year and half the next year in order to maintain a continuity of leadership and continuity regarding the issues that we're handling. So this year, I am not up for election. The presidency isn't, but the first vice president, secretary, chief steward, and set rep coordinator are. And we had a good number of nominations, so it really showed a healthy level of involvement, and similar to what we've noticed in the need survey for professional development, we saw that there were a lot of people interested in becoming leaders at Mount SAC and in the classified service, which was great. Although we have some veteran leaders already, even though we had a number of nominations, a lot of the folks withdrew in support of their colleagues. And so we have three of the offices have people running unopposed. Sandra Boyer will remain our first vice president, reelected there, which is great because I've been trying to train her to take over for me next year. Unopposed is, for our chapter secretary is Marianne Mulvihill. Our current chapter secretary, Lakshmi Rai Lucky, is having a really busy time in payroll with all the deadlines, and she knows that continuing on our executive board would impact the payroll department, and so she's being very conscientious and stepping down from that role. Catherine McDonald will be stepping down as chief steward. She's been a longtime chief steward. Each of the years that I've been president of the chapter, she has been my chief steward, and she is getting ready to retire next year. And so stepping up to take her place is our current assistant chief steward and treasurer, Elizabeth Harrigy. And so Liz Harrigy is currently unopposed for chief steward. And then the position that we have a number of people running for is kind of like our training ground for new executive board officers. That's our site representative coordinator. They're kind of the communication link out on campus. And we have, I think, five or six people running for that office. So since Marianne Mulvihill, our current site rep coordinator, is vacating that office, that's an open seat. And I think you all know how elections go when you have an open seat. So it'll be interesting to see who runs and wins there. Last item I have is thank you for the Associated Students. Over the past couple of years, they've really pushed to expand services for students, especially as we get near finals. And as Renee mentioned, the extended hours for the library has been part of that. And so this was an item that was initiated and suggested by the Associated Students a few years ago, and each year their support grows. I happen to be one of the lucky ones as part of the IT staff that work those extended hours helping support our students, and we find very cost-effective ways to do it, but I can go to the library tonight when they get ready to close at 11 o'clock, and you will see that library is going to be fairly full. And one of the things that the Associated Students this year did, one of the great things supporting the student activities fee, is that they've helped provide snacks and like a couple noodle dinners for those students that are there, so that as they're studying, they don't need to take a break and leave campus, get something to eat, and come back to try and continue their studies. They're able to have something really handy right there in the library. They can grab it, warm it up, have that to eat, and then be right back in at the study. So it helps them not have a long break in their studies. And those are just some of the little things that Renee and his team have done this year, and that we recognize, and it's really helping support the work that the classified are doing here. So we want to recognize Renee and the Associated Students for doing that. So thank you all very much. Have a great Christmas.
Thank you. Anybody from CSEA 651? No? Okay. Then Mount SAC Foundation.
Bill, there you go.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. I want to start by talking about something that I talk about quite a bit with you guys is alumni engagements and our efforts to uncover alumni, the challenge that we have. You never know where this information is going to come from, and it comes from the strangest places sometimes. One example is that we discovered at Alumni Day last month that our own trustee, Laura Santos, is a Mount SAC alumna. Didn't know that before and was really pleased to find out, so thank you for participating in Alumni Day activities. I thought she was here as a trustee, but she was here as an alum, so that was wonderful. But also we found out that her whole family, her siblings, are also part of the alumni community. And it's an interesting example, great news on the one hand, because that's terrific, but it also shows us where we are and where we're going with this alumni engagement, because we've been sending mail to you and your siblings at your mom's house for years and years, because that's where you grew up. And so it shows us where, you know, we still have a ways to go. Data is hugely important, and we're just lucky in this situation that you're getting that. But
I'll get you the right address.
Yes, thank you so much. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. So as most of you know, we kicked off another holiday season last week with the Arts Division and their 18th annual Wassail dinner and concert, which was tremendous. The foundation has a role in that, a minor role, and it's really an easy thing for us to partner with. You know, it's you have something excellent, and you just invite a bunch of people, and it works out really nicely. So I want to thank all of our trustees and the administration and college leadership who attended. Also want to thank foundation board member John Sword, who was a sponsor again this year of Wassail. And just extend appreciation to the Arts Division, the choir directors, and students for once again bringing the holiday spirit to all of our guests. It was just another really, really wonderful time, and we're so lucky to be able to be part of it. So thank you so much. As is the case with most nonprofits right now, we are working hard to finish the year on a strong note. We're in the midst of sending several year-end solicitations. We recently participated in a global initiative called Giving Tuesday. Some of you probably have heard of this. It's a philanthropy-focused event that falls after Black Friday and Cyber Monday, where you encourage people to support nonprofit organizations. It's a campaign that's still taking root with many organizations across the nation, and community colleges like Mount SAC are participating. So we'd like to see that grow more and more. But we had support from the campus community. We sent out a bunch of targeted emails to folks. President Scroggins was the star of one, a thank you message to donors. Thanks for doing that. That's an important stewardship piece to let people know that we appreciate their involvement and their support of what we're doing. Sent out 1,500 solicitations to the alumni community, encouraging a year-end gift, as well as joining the alumni association. So those things are working hand in hand, and now we're targeting folks that have done one or the other. An alum who has made a gift, we say, hey, take this step and join the alumni association, and vice versa. So if you've joined the alumni association but not made the step of taking a gift, of making a gift, then encouraging folks to do that. So it's the four-step process that we ask people to take to be what we would define as engaged alumni. So we'll continue to talk more about that as we go along. Other news, we also recently secured a $100,000 gift from a donor who is remaining anonymous. This gift is in memory of a recently deceased nursing faculty member, Marie Smith. She was quite an extraordinary person, as I understand it. I'm learning more and more about her. But we're going to use the funds to upgrade technology in the Skills Lab and in the Sim Center over in that area of campus. And we're going to rename those areas in honor of Marie Smith and her contributions to the nursing program in particular. So we're excited about that. Last week we had a couple of scholarship donors. Jamie and Brian Robinson visited campus. They've been giving a scholarship in honor of their son, who passed away about 15 years ago. They've been supporting Mount SAC, the fire and paramedic program. So we finally had them to campus for the first time to visit the paramedic program. And I want to thank Sarah Plessitz and Tina and her team over there, because they really did a wonderful thing. They're having their own skills lab that day. So there was a simulated car accident, and the Robinsons got to see the training that goes into preparing our paramedics for the work that they do, the important work that they do, where in normal situations we're told to run the opposite way, and they're trained to fight those impulses and go and save the day. So the Robinsons, I know, were really touched by it and enjoyed that tremendously. So that's the kind of thing that we've been talking about, stewardship and donor, the high touch and donor centered approach that we take to philanthropy here at Mount SAC and the foundation. That's all. Thank you so much. Have a great holiday. Anyone interested in making a year-end gift, you can talk to me or go to our website. And you know, if you're looking for tax help, then certainly feel free to do that. Happy to have any conversation. One other final thing. Each of you has a little microfiber patch that you can put on your phones that says Mount SAC on it. So we're doing a little bit of marketing through the foundation. So it cleans your screen and also promotes the college. So thanks very much. Have a great holiday.
Nice. All right. Any other representative groups? Not? Now moving on to board communication. At this time, the Board of Trustees will report on matters related to attendance at conferences, professional affiliations, and community involvement directly related to their functions as a board members. We'll start with our new trustee, Jay Chen.
Okay, thank you. I guess I should have the least to say since I've only been a board member for a few minutes.
Actually, but you started December 1.
December 1, okay.
Oh, you can report on a week's worth of.
All right. Well, I'll report that I did get to attend Wassail, and that was my first introduction to the celebratory nature of Mount SAC, and I'm learning more and more about how all the classifieds, all the professors, they all have their own celebrations, and they actively encourage board members to participate. So I talked my way out of singing, but I will probably be participating in putting on the hits as a drummer. I'll be a drummer for sure.
I'm telling you, once you say yes to me, there's no.
Okay. All right. So I'm committed, and I attended the La Puente Christmas parade, and I was invited as a Hacienda La Puente school board member. It's something that we always participate in, and I've noticed that Mount SAC hasn't actually participated in the past, and hopefully going forward, this will be something that we will regularly send representatives to, and it involves riding on top of a convertible. You know, it's pretty fun. And I did put a shout out for Mount SAC since I was in that nebulous Hacienda La Puente Mount SAC stage. So I was representing both. And I also have been spending time touring the campus. I met with VP Irene Malgram. And I met with various deans, Megan Chen, Joe Jenham, Matthew Judd, and Jennifer Galbraith. Got a great tour of the campus. I look forward to meeting with all the other deans and as many folks as I can to learn more about this great institution. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Baca.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate Jay. As you know, as an experienced school board member, I'm sure you've already hit the ground running, and you'll be making a lot of contributions, so I'm very much looking forward to working with you on work for the college and for the community. So, congratulations, and we'll be hitting it.
Thank you.
And of course, Roseanne, happy to be back with you for another round. Congratulations, and congratulations to Nolan, our new staff member. I also attended the Wassail, and every year it's a very fun activity. Great talent, and that talent is just not with the students themselves, but also the work of the faculty, Bill and Bruce and others who contribute to that very fine program there. I have been staying busy. Well, before I talk about that, I will be at the Pomona Parade this weekend with Roseanne and Betty. You're going to be going there as well. Good. So we'll be representing Mount SAC and Pomona, that parade. I've been kind of staying busy with some work coordinating with our own foundation, also with the State Foundation. As some of you know, I'm on the executive board for the State Community College Foundation. And
The one of the events that I'm working with, and I'm on the organizing committee, is the Kepler, and so we're looking forward to that. And I give thanks to the foundation, Bill Lambert, and of course our president for supporting that activity a great deal. Our speaker this year, and I'll say more about her at the next meeting. But she is the chief planetary scientist for the Cassini mission, which is ending right now, Saturn. So there is no better expert on Saturn and Titan and the system that is there at JPL. But again, I'll say more about that in coming meetings. And then the other one is going to be the statewide higher education summit for veterans, which will be held at Pacific Palms. So I'm working with a lot of the folks in the community and the county, as well as coordinating with our own campus here as one of the co-host colleges within Region 8 in support of the Vet Summit. And again, that's the only summit that brings together all providers, not only community colleges, but the UC and the CSU. And so they'll be there in force, as will many, many veterans and those who work in nonprofit and governmental agencies doing work on behalf of veterans. With that, happy holidays. I will see you in the new year.
Thank you. Dr. Hall.
First, as others have said, congratulations to the new member of the board, as well as the two re-elected members of the board. Jay and I have known each other for quite a while, actually. So I think, you know, it's just I was early on when in his the relationship with him when he got on the Hacienda La Puente Unified School District, and that goes back, I guess that'd have to be 8 years, mm-hmm. something like that. So I think it's he's going to be a great asset. And one of the facts is, Jay, and you talk about going from 5 members to 7 members, there really is no way that 5 members could do justice to this district. I've ridden in 5 parades this last fall, and yes, I couldn't make it to Pomona, but I made it to the Covina Christmas Parade for the first time this last Saturday, along with Betty and along with Salvador. There's our almost permanent driver now. I know we're going to have to start paying him because you know, he bails us out about every parade. So
you can go to one more.
Well, I know Pomona, I know I'm going to get the car, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, I do have a few things in my office that I probably should attend to occasionally.
No pressure.
So anyway, that Covina Christmas parade was incredible, a huge crowd. You know, and we rode number 20, and that might seem a little far back in the parade, but last year there were 200 different participants, if you will, and groups riding in that. So we rode right behind the Covina City Council in that parade on Saturday night. So I thought we had a pretty good location. And some people later came up to me and said, hey, they saw us in the parade. So that was nice. People were actually watching and recognizing that Mount SAC had joined. Wassail, yes, congratulations, of course, to Bill McIntosh and Bruce Rogers and all they do there. 18th annual, which means that had to have started about 1 year after we cut the ribbon on the Performing Arts Center, because I think we cut the ribbon on the Performing Arts Center probably around 96. So 18 years, you take that from 2015, we started that probably the year we completed Performing Arts Center. It's been going on ever since, and it's just a tremendous tradition now at Mount SAC. And Bill or somebody planted me at a table with members of the foundation, and you know, we had great discussions all night long about what's going on at Mount SAC. And so it proved to be an educational evening for me and maybe even for them. And then I would just like to say something about our sports teams. We won our own Patriot Bowl, okay, if you didn't attend, 29-27 over Golden West. Our wrestling team just placed second in Southern California, advances to the state tournament this weekend, and that may be here. I believe we may be hosting some of that. Is that correct? Okay, it's in Fresno. Well, I've gotten that wrong. And then our women's basketball team is ranked currently number one in the state at 8-0. Some of you, I'm sure, like me, have gone to this state championship game the last couple of years, and I think we've ended up second now 2 years in a row, and hopefully this year we're going to be first when it all shakes out. But we're currently ranked number one in the state. And so Joe Jenham and everybody else is doing a great job of keeping the tradition going, and who knows, maybe we can get that Learfield trophy again if we can keep it on a roll. So anyway, that's all I have to say this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Bader.
Okay. I would like to congratulate Mr. Nolan, the only one who is here right now, so welcome and congratulations. And congratulations, Manuel. It will be nice working with you again. You're really an important part of this board. And congratulations, Jay. It was so much fun to see your wife and your son, and your new little son was home, I'm sure, sleeping, mm-hmm. and all of your family. And I think you're going to be a great addition to the board, so welcome.
Thank you.
Wassail, I just want to add a couple of comments. It's such a great event that we have every year, and Bruce Rogers and Bill McIntyre, so outstanding. But this year I was able to bring an entire table of people along with me, and this table was from the Foothill Philharmonic Committee. And this is a committee that's located in our valley, and we support the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and we are the most active and most numerous group. And so this group knows music, and they were so impressed with Wassail. They were impressed with the music in particular, of course, but they were also impressed with Sodexo and the group and the dinners that they served that were all, you know, warm and tasty, and so many dinners. I think there were about 320 people there each night, and they do a great job of providing food for everybody. So that's always just a marvelous event. I'll be attending the CalWORKS and CARE recognition program on Friday, which is so heartwarming and so inspiring also. These are our students who really need extra help and who get it here at Mount SAC. These are the students who are students with children, students who are, you know, coming back, who've had unfortunate experiences, and who are doing great thanks to our great counseling program and thanks to the administrators of these programs. So I will be there Friday and in the Pomona Parade, Christmas Parade on Saturday. And I would like to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and Happy New Year, and we'll see you all next year.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Huaba Hidalgo?
Yeah, I'd like to also congratulate Trustee Jay Chen. I've actually known Jay probably for about 10 years now. When I was elected on the Roland Unified School Board, I think a couple years later, Jay ran for Hacienda La Puente. So I got to know him back through our K-12 school trustee days and all the events. And he actually was kind of indirectly my boss for a while since I've employed in Hacienda La Puente Unified. So I guess we're equals now. So, congratulations. And also congratulations to our reelected members, Trustee Bader and Trustee Baca. I've been through three elections and never had it as difficult as Trustee Baca did it this time around. So. And also to our new board president, Trustee Chen Haggerty.
Thank you.
Congratulations. I had the opportunity to attend the West Covina City Council meeting, and they did also their oath of office. So they have two new city council members there in their city, and got to say goodbye to outgoing Mayor Fred Sykes, and saw the Mayor James Toma get sworn in as a new mayor there. Mayor Pro Tem Toma became the mayor there in that city. So They are a very new council. I believe the most veteran has 2 years of experience. So a lot of changes in that city, but I think they're going to be good changes. So it's good that, you know, I have that partnership there with some there. Also got to attend Wasiel, and I took my son again for the second year, so he always gets a kick out of the show, and he really liked the Star Wars scene that they did. He got a kick out of that, and he didn't win any raffle prizes, but he purchased one, and he was disappointed about that, but he kept reading his number. Also went to the Industry Manufacturer Council meeting. I saw Mr. Chen there. I kind of went as in a different capacity, but went to that. I won't mention the other college that performs there every Christmas, but ours is better, by the way. I might be a little biased, but and then just wanted to say happy holidays to everyone, and looking forward to the new year.
Thank you. Trustee Laura Santos.
Okay, so I wanted to congratulate everybody that won their election and welcome the new employees and congratulate the ones that got promoted. And I've seen some fabulous student performances. LOXTA, the Los Angeles County School Trustee Association, their Christmas event, they had performances, student performances from districts all over the county. So that was really great to see students from everywhere. And of course, the fantastic one was Wasail. I went to Assemblyman Hernandez Turkey Basket Giveaway, and in Baldwin Park they have an event called Santa Claus where volunteers help needy children buy clothes with their little $50 vouchers. So I did that this week. And for the first time, I was in the parades. I went to Covina. And then at La Puente Parade, I actually, Jay and his son, Lincoln, and Bike SGV, we got a great photo with Hilda Solis. And you know, one of the things I really appreciate about her is that, you know, she's a really good, great Latina environmentalist, which is kind of kind of have a different perspective. And she also supports active transportation. And then one of the things I wanted to mention to my colleagues, when our meeting started tonight in Baldwin Park Community Center, Metro, they were having a county meeting to address the construction of the new bike paths along the waterways. And a lot of those waterways run through Mount Sac District. San Dimas Creek, Big Dalton Wash, which goes through Baldwin Park, Walnut Creek that goes through West Covina and Baldwin Park, and our stream in our sanctuary actually goes into the San Jose Waterway. And I haven't looked at the map, but I bet you San Jose Creek goes through Mount Sac District. And so there's a big effort right now to address multimodal means of transportation. I think it's great that we've arranged to have our students get free bus passes, and it would be nice if we could look at how we could accommodate those connections, like first mile, last mile, and all the in-between connections, especially since, you know, now Citrus and PCC are celebrating the Gold Line going to their doorstep. So, you know, it would be easy for our students to just take their bike to the Gold Line and go to the wrong college. So I think that would be something, you know, it would be nice for us to do. And I wanted to wish everybody happy holidays.
Thank you. Student Trustee Betty Santos.
So I first want to say congratulations to Jay Chen. and Trustee Baca and Trustee Bader. I'm really excited to keep working with you guys. And to Trustee Haggerty for being president of the board. So on December 3rd, I attended Wassail. It was my first time, and I've heard the choir before here, but it was just such a different experience with them, having them serve us and then having to go watch them. And it was really fun, and I enjoyed it a lot. I attended the Covina Parade as well. And just this semester ends for me tomorrow when I take my last final. And it's like a postmark for my half term gone. And I just really want to say thank you to the board for being so welcoming, to Dr. Scroggins and Carol and Denise for being so open and helping guide me through my first term. So thank you and happy holidays.
Thank you. First of all, I want to congratulate Dr. Baca and Trustee Bader. Welcome back. Glad to have you back, for sure. And Trustee Jay Chen, welcome to Mount Sac family. I'm looking forward to working with you. And thank you, Dr. Hall, for your service. I know sometimes we have difficult times, but you guide us through. So very much appreciate it. Thank you. I did miss last month's meeting because I was at ACES meeting and also the CCLC convention. And Dan Smith was there, student trustee was there. A lot of good program, but I wouldn't report it. But there is one positive development during the convention. The African American Caucus and API Caucus, along with veteran group, we form a joint caucus. And I think in January, the Latino caucus expressed interest to join. Everybody had a caucus, and we have the same, so can advocate the same issues, and so united we can be very strong. So I'm looking forward to Sacramento, January, the joint caucus. So it will be very great. December 5th, Saturday, I attended, and the reason I made an effort to attend this particular, it's called Writer Square Scholarship Award. And it's a local, Chinese has many dialects, and this particular one is out of Canton. It is called Hakka Foundation. And the reason I, Mount Sac had an opportunity, and thanks to Denise, were able to send a certificate of recognition of their effort promoting writing, and we were able to publish that Mount Sac certificate in their program. It's 300 people, students, and they gave out $40,000 award that afternoon. So Mount Sac had a point, because these kids, many of them, it's not Chinese writing only, it's Chinese and English writing. There are many faculty involved, and these are the possible potential Mount Sac students. So I attended that function, and I wish everybody a safe and happy holiday. All right? Okay, let's move on to consent calendar, and there are three items to be pulled.
President's report.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Number nine.
President, sorry.
Number nine.
How can I? Oh, right. Down here. I didn't see it. Sorry. Dr. Scroggin, it's yours.
Thank you. Yes, I'm always at the bottom of the page there. So. Well, I'd like to begin by congratulating the three board members who have the opportunity to serve a four-year term. Dr. Baca, it speaks volumes, and nobody was willing to challenge you. You're very intimidating.
I flew under the radar.
No, you're out there a powerful position. That's a great vote of confidence from the community when they do that. Roseanne, you are a campaigner.
You got the bit in your teeth, and you got out there, and you weren't just going to win. You were going to crush the opposition, and you did that.
Yes.
I'm sure that 78%. That's fantastic. That's really good. And Jay, welcome to the board. I got a chance to meet some of your posse there, and I have to say, you got a bunch of troublemakers and pot stirrers on your team. That's good. We like people who stir things up, and some of them I know from their reputation, so that speaks highly. If you have got that level of support from the community and professionalism, and I look forward to working with you. I'd like to point out that this spring, the college is going to hire approximately 40 full-time tenure-track faculty. 36 of those are new positions, that is growth positions, that is additional full-time faculty, instructors, and counselors who will now be part of our Mount SAC family. And I'd just like to point out that this is a tremendous opportunity to increase the diversity of our faculty. And we're going to work very hard in recruiting and in getting out there and telling the message of what a great place Mount SAC is to work. And to have a diverse faculty is really important to the college, because the faculty who have a disparate background bring that background to the college. They share with us diverse opinions about how the world works. They relate many times to the backgrounds that our students have, and just the physicality of their representation of diverse groups gives the feeling of community and diversity to Mount SAC. So we're going to work very hard at that this spring. And I know oftentimes diversity is something that people have disparate opinions about, but not in education. It's really an advantage in education. And it's a pleasure to see this board. Many of you remember when we had the discussions about the California Voting Rights Act, and we looked at that data, mm-hmm. and we said, you know, we're making this decision about these boundaries and seven trustee areas to increase the diversity of this board so that it looks like our community. Yeah. So take a look at the eight trustees that are sitting here right now. There's four men and four women. And last time I checked, that's pretty close to the population. There are four Hispanic members, two Asian members, and two Caucasian members. And that approximately represents both our community and our student body. This is my 42nd year in higher education. I have never worked for a board that represents the diversity of our community. I look for great things from you. So be out there. Be representatives of this board, both in what you bring from your community experience and what you bring in sharing your life experiences that reflect the life experiences of those we serve. It's a wonderful time for Mount SAC, and I appreciate all the commitments that you make, because you don't get much for being on this board in terms of financial benefit. It is a love and a dedication that you bring here. Every one of you has passions that you share with our community, with our college, and with me. Tonight's information presentation is our annual audit. And Mike, could you introduce our audit team, please?
I'll be happy to. A team of one.
A team of one? What happened to your sidekick?
Not able to make it.
Oh, sorry. This is Gemma Patinsky. Gemma is a partner in the firm, and she's going to take us through the highlights of the audit.
We've got paper and paper here.
And you have them in your packet.
Thank you, Mike. And I was going to say thank you, President Scroggins, but he's walked out the door.
So, Judy, you can address it to Judy then, okay?
I can address to Judy. Good evening, President, Trustee Haggerty and trustees. I'm here this evening to talk about our engagement, scope of engagement, and the results of our engagement. And we were again engaged to audit the financial statements of the Mount San Antonio School District sorry, Community College District, the Auxiliary Services, which is a component unit of the district, and then also the financial performance audit of your bond funding. And that report is going to come to the board in January. It will also go to the COC in January. So let's talk a little bit about the audit process. We start the audit every year, meeting with management to discuss the audit plan, scope, and responsibility, and to ensure that we maintain our independence. Of course, our profession requires that we evaluate independence annually, and so one of the key components of that is ensuring that the district can take responsibility for the financial statements. The opinion belongs to the auditor, so we issue an opinion. The financial statements, although we assist the district in preparing it, the financials belong to management, and then there are a few reports in the back that belong to the auditors as well. So we do work with management and ensure that management does a thorough review. They review all of the accounting entries that are required to produce the financial statements, and they take full responsibility for them. We also take a look to see if we provide any non-audit services that might impair our independence, such as doing the bookkeeping for the district, which we don't. Okay, so our audit includes a combination of tests and transactions and an evaluation of internal controls to allow us to provide our opinion. We focus on a variety of areas, but key significant areas are your FTES, your apportionment, salaries and benefits, capital outlay, and of course debt. And we obtain evidence by looking at supporting documents, inquiry with management, and using our judgment and a risk assessment to determine which procedures we're going to perform. So the results of our audit, we've issued an unmodified opinion, and just after the table of contents is our opinion letter, our independent letter. And the second page has our opinion. We've issued an unmodified opinion, which is the best opinion we can render, and it means that the financial statements are fairly presented. The user of the financial statement can rely on the information that's presented. The report also includes a management discussion and analysis section, and that's an area that's not audited. We review it to ensure that it there's nothing that contradicts what's in the financial statements, but it's not covered by our opinion, and it's written by management. And then, of course, there's the financial statements. And what I want to report about the financial statements is that there were no adjustments to the 311 that was presented to you. The financials are a consolidation of all of your funds and then a conversion from modified to full accrual. If you're interested in seeing how that translates from the fund statements to the full accrual statements, you can take a look at Roman numeral pages, 8 provides a reconciliation. So if you're interested in looking at that, you can find it there. You'll also find fiduciary statements within the financial statements, which include your OPEB trust, and that is all covered under our audit as well. The auxiliary services, which is a component unit, is also audited. There's a separate report that's issued for auxiliary services, and we'll be presenting to the auxiliary, I think, sometime in January. But they're included in as a component unit in a separate column within the financial statements. So the big or significant difference this year from other years is the implementation of a new accounting standard. And you may have heard some discussion about GASB Statement 68 and 71. This was a new statement this year. It required all governmental agencies to accrue the unfunded liabilities associated with your proportionate share of STIRS and PERS. And so we spent quite a bit of time on that area this year. The information is derived from the actuaries up at those two retirement systems, and then it's audited by those systems auditors that provide the proportionate share, and so we take that information, perform our audit procedures, and then apply the entries to the financial statements. And so you will see on the financial statements this year, and you may have questions about that, on page 1, which is the statement of net position, you'll see a negative unrestricted ending net position, and that's specifically because of this entry. So we now have a fairly significant liability of $125 million. There are some deferred outflows and inflows associated, so we've got a net impact of about $147 million decrease in net position as a result of this reporting entry. But what you need to keep in mind that this is strictly for reporting purposes and not part, doesn't impact your 311 and your general operating fund. So the district's in the same position as other districts throughout the state and other state agencies, and so the users of the financial statements will see the same types of results at all agencies. Let's see. So what's important for us is to ensure that you're not a going concern, and generally a negative net position would cause the auditor to say, okay, there's an issue, there's a problem. But what we look for is to ensure that the district's able to make your ongoing payments to STRS and PERS, and that you maintain your healthy reserves, which you do. So no concern, just a reporting requirement for this year. The other significant item is that there's a new standard coming out that will apply in a couple of years, which is Statement 74 and 75, which has to do with changes to how the other post-employment health care benefits are recorded. And so very similar to this statement, the unfunded liabilities will be recorded on the financial statement, so we'll see that net position drop as well. But again, it's a reporting standard, and that standard in particular, you're unfunded, you've got a trust, and so as long as you're funding that trust or you continue to fund that trust, you're going to be able to manage and reduce that liability. So that's kind of the key big issue or big difference from last year's audit report. I wasn't going to go through the financial statements otherwise in detail or the notes. I will respond to questions if anybody has questions. I do want to share that there are three letters at the back of the report. There's an internal control letter on page 75. And that is reporting back on internal controls related to the financial statements. And so there were no reportable conditions related to financial statements or to compliance that would impact the financial statements. There's a second letter related to your federal programs that we tested on page 77. And again, there were no internal control findings or compliance findings. This year, we tested your student financial aid program, your career and technical education program, and Title V developing Hispanic serving institutions. And then the final letter has to do with state compliance, and that's located on page 81. And it'll list all the various state compliance areas that we have to look at. And again, no findings related to compliance or internal controls in that area. So clean opinions throughout the report. In addition to the report, you were provided with a letter. We've got a required letter that we issue every year. There's nothing of significance in the letter. The last page has an attachment of for an unrecorded, what we call an unrecorded misstatement. This just has to do with that new GASB standard and a timing difference between when auditors provided information and when the financial statements were being prepared, so there's a little difference in terms of the estimated liability, and so it wasn't booked. But we shouldn't see that next year. They should be able to provide the information on time. So that's kind of the audit in a nutshell, and I'd just be happy to answer any questions you might have about anything in the report.
I see your summary on 82. Which you know, presumably in some ways pulls together all these other things, assume, on one page.
Yes.
And as you say, all of it seems to fall in the category of unmodified. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of curious on the last line where it says auditee qualifies as a low-risk, you know, target. Why are we considered to be low risk? Is it based on the nature of our institution? Is it based on our prior history of audits? What
exactly.
What leads you to that conclusion?
There are a number of criteria that we have to look at, and it's based on your prior audits. So if you've received an unmodified opinion in the prior 2 years, if you have no material findings related to internal controls, and if you have no material findings related to federal programs we've tested, you're put in the category of a low-risk auditee, and what that means is that we're only required to test up to at least 25% of your federal expenditures. If you're a high-risk auditee, then we're required to test at least 50% of your expenditures. The interesting thing about that is every year we have to test student financial aid. So every year we are already testing well over 50% of your federal expenditures.
Okay.
So, but that's the criteria for putting you in that category, and it's a good category, good category to be in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure.
Just a quick comment. A lot of hard work from Rosa and her staff of accountants goes into getting a clean report like this. And they're to be congratulated because this is a tough job. Gemma's firm has done a very good job in reviewing our records and making sure that we're on track. But it's so good to know you're on track before the auditors get there, because they prepare these reports and the auditors do the audit on the report. And so it's a lot of good hard work, and I just want to thank Rosa and her staff.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Okay. Don't you have to make a determination regarding meeting our obligations for the next couple of years? And aren't there these three standards, qualified, unqualified, or that, you know, you usually tell us where we fall into?
Exactly, and you're unmodified. Your opinion's unmodified, so that's the best opinion. There are other opinions that we can issue. A modified opinion would mean that there's something in the financial statements that maybe isn't following generally accepted accounting principles. There's also a disclaimer of opinion. And I'm not sure if I'm answering your question or not. One of the things we do look at is whether an entity is a going concern, and we look for a year out to see whether an entity can satisfy its obligations and continue in business for the subsequent year. And so we do look at your general...
You don't look at 2 years out?
It's 1 year. It's one-year requirement. And so the things that we look at your reserve level. We look to ensure that you're maintaining your reserve level. We look to see that you have a budget plan and how you're managing your budget. And those are the types of things that we're looking at. That answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Sure.
So in this 1 year outlook, was the Cadillac tax on healthcare, was that one of the things that we looked at? Because I know when I was in Hacienda La Puente, one of our big concerns was our healthcare plan would trigger that Cadillac tax.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the insurance here would probably do the same. So was that factored in? And
Our audit does not include evaluating healthcare reform and whether you're in compliance with the healthcare reform requirements or not. So we're just looking at the budget and how you're budgeting items, if your budgets look realistic and reasonable in terms of healthcare cost trends.
But those trends don't include the anticipated increase in healthcare costs because of the tax. Was that factored in? Because, I mean, that's something that we kind of know is coming down the pipeline.
Right, and I don't know specifically if it was or not. I know we don't specifically look at whether you're in compliance or not. So we look at the budget and we evaluate, the percentage increase that you're looking at in terms of healthcare benefits to see if it seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Just a comment to try to answer that question. Mount SAC is, I'm not sure what you have for health benefits or had for health benefits at Hacienda La Puente, but at Mount SAC, each of the employee groups have a dollar amount. And so we control the costs because if the plan goes up and we expect some of the PERS health insurance to go up and other plans we have. But, for example, if the faculty has a $12,000 annual amount that's spent on their health insurance, they have to then make up the difference. So I don't believe, at least in the look that we've done so far, I don't think we're going to be faced with the Cadillac tax because it's a sharing of the health benefit, mm-hmm. the cost of it, between whatever employee group it is and the employees. So that's how it works here. Now, maybe it's a little different there. I don't know how they calculate getting you to that Cadillac tax. We've heard of it, but it doesn't seem to affect our plan yet.
Okay. Thank you.
So that completes our report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that should be action item number one.
It is.
Yes.
Yes, that is action item number one, yes.
All right, so moving on to consent calendar, we pulling
excuse
item
me,
item
were we
two?
Going to do the student equity report?
Oh, Dr. Scroggins?
Dr. Scroggins?
Dr.
Scroggins? Were we going to do the student equity
report?
Oh, sorry.
There's one more report.
We promise not to take long.
All right. So,
yes. You did receive a packet. It wasn't for kindling for your holiday fire. although you probably wondered about it. It's a pleasure tonight to come before you to share briefly where we are with our student equity plan. I'd like to present to you our Dean of Student Services, Carolyn Keyes, and our student representative, Corey Case. Corey is a 2015 graduate of Diamond Bar High School, and this is her first semester. But he was so impressive that we invited him to be part of the presentation. And he said, you know, I've never been to a board meeting. I said, well, this is the greatest way to get started. He has studied this plan and part of the process, as well as have been a lot of other folks participating in this. So you have the plan in front of you. We'll give you just kind of the background. So student equity is something that really isn't new for community colleges. It started actually back in the 1990s, really to take a look at historically underrepresented groups and what can we do to increase their success, especially in the five goal areas that are shown there on the screen. In terms of additional history, in 2012, as you know, the Student Success Act was passed and established the SSSP program, as well as reiterated the importance of the student equity plan. Then in 2014 and 2015, money was appropriated. So before you had to do a plan, but nobody, I guess, took it all that seriously because it wasn't funded. All of a sudden, funding became available. Last year, we were required to put together a very arduous student equity plan that you approved and we submitted. And this year they said, well, you know what? Just go out and do a brand new plan all over again. So that's what we've been doing. But unlike other colleges, we've had a student equity plan and a very active committee all along. And it's rare to have had that. But I think because of that, this is not new to us, both in terms of our daily work as well as actions from the board. Our plan last year was highly ranked and noted as containing best practices. So we hope that our 15-16 plan will as well.
Okay. So with our 15-16 plan, it does come from what we did already in the previous plan. We built upon that. Again, the conversation has been ongoing on campus and a lot of dialogue about student equity. So in developing the new plan, we made sure that we submitted requests for the plans to across campus, the academic side, student services, and we got a lot of feedback on the proposals that people were interested in and ways to improve the goal for a lot of the different populations. So they're very much, the campus is very much aware of what the needs are. Our Vice President of Student Services worked tirelessly in terms of providing information sessions to make sure that if people wanted to submit a proposal for the student equity plan, that they were well informed of the process and the guidelines that the Chancellor's Office had submitted to us. Additionally, we developed a writing team to review all the submittals and make sure that they were in compliance. And after that, we submitted to the Student Equity Committee. The committee reviewed the plan in its entirety and decided that we were looking pretty good on addressing all the goal indicators and the various groups that needed the additional support. The plan was approved by Student Equity Committee on November 23rd, and then was forwarded to the Student Preparation and Success Council. In the area of research, of course, we have the research committee team working with the Student Equity Committee to go over all the data details related to how we are doing in terms of the achievement gaps with the various groups. So access, we have to do that for every one of those five indicator goals. So under the area of access, of course, we're looking at where are the needs there. We compare the student population on this campus to our surrounding serving cities, and certainly males, Hispanic, Latinos, and whites were underrepresented by the population. And we also looked at the cities where we were not serving as many students as we should be, and that was cities Pomona and La Puente and Baldwin Park. So at least we know where our efforts have to go in terms of access. Course completion, of course, is the other area where you will see both African-American males and females are below the equity level. When we talk about below the equity, we're looking at an 80% mark as we compare that particular group to the overall student population. So you'll see some ongoing, reoccurring things about the populations that are below equity. And so you'll see that throughout the plan. And as you look at your individual copies, you will see programs and proposals that are designed to assist these populations with improving their success rate. ESL and credit completion, you can see there again, similar populations, Latinos, males, and females are far below equity. Under our next area, English writing and math courses, same groups are highlighted in that area. There are disabled population, our foster youth, African Americans, Latinos, and are for both groups, both English writing and math course completion. However, also our low income students were highlighted as being below equity for the English writing. Under degree and completion, again, you'll see some of the similar demographics, African Americans, Latino males. They're having a downward trend. So we looked over a five-year time period to see what was happening with those populations. And so we've kind of see that there's still some problems there. One year they may go up, but right now we're looking at a downward trend for African Americans and Latino males. Asian males are also in that group as far being far below equity, but their trend is increasing. And once again, foster youth, a recurring theme was our foster youth who are below equity with no change in trend. Certificate completion, females, Latinos, Pacific Islander students are the ones that we're paying close attention to. And again, always in all these categories, foster youth. Transfer is the other category. The highlight here is our disabled and AB 540 DREAM students are the furthest below equity. So the next areas are plan specifics. There's a lot of work to do to address all of these five goal indicators. We have 56 separate activities, each with our goals and a method of evaluation that the Student Equity Committee will be looking at as efforts are being made to address these inequities. We have a budget over $5 million. And, of course, with this work comes a lot of team players. We're hiring faculty for veterans, DSPNS, and the Dream Center. We're hiring classified staff to the tune of about 18 different classified staff to work in a number of areas. We have the management group where we'll be hiring associate dean, and that position will be partly funded by student equity dollars.
And as for access, one of the key things that we had while going through this, we highlighted four core things. We highlighted the HSO and Connect 4, Cash for College, dual enrollment, and the Summer Bridge Enrollment Program. And so what we did is we looked at this and we decided that HSO was very quintessential in the access committee. We also wanted to highlight Cash for College. Cash for College is an initiative to go and take things like FAFSA, things that are financial aid, and create a workshop. The biggest issue with a lot of students when it comes to financial aid is it's either too complex, it's too hard, or they just can't find the information. And this is what this workshop highlights. And falling under HSO, we also have dual enrollment. This is our way of outreaching to the school and basically pushing them towards Mount SAC. The last thing we have is a Summer Bridge program. The Summer Bridge is a huge, huge thing. We want to go and increase the number of applications and the number of enrollment by 10% by the year 2020. And we also want to push them towards collaboration with disabled students so that they would be more likely to participate in the Bridge program. Part B is course completion. One of the biggest issues that we had when we really looked at course completion was veterans and foster youth. So what we decided to do is allocate money, about $150,000, so that we could actually go and help them with this. Another thing that we did is we took students and we took staff, and we also put them through diversity training. I'm actually one of those who attended the Fall Leadership Conference, and I have to say it was amazing. It was very insightful to everything that it offered. Additionally, we wanted to go and have further research on ESL. We wanted to go and put money for that so we can close the loop and we can go and really understand what we need in the future years. Another thing that we had was STEM. STEM is actually a huge, huge issue because there are people who aren't STEM majors but are required to take STEM classes, such as economics, required to go up to math 180. However, they're in economics. It doesn't mean that math is their strong suit. And so we have this gap of students that struggle with that class. We have this huge gap that just aren't as good. So we wanted to really get STEM out there and really get them to pass their class and to understand what they're learning. The last thing we wanted to get was library competency skills. The reason why this is so important is because we have a huge resource, the library. And we have so many things there, but the problem is people just simply weren't using it or didn't know how to use it. And so what we want to do is we want to start funding workshops during all semesters so that they could really understand what they have for them and how Mount SAC wants them to succeed, and especially in their classes. The next point is ESL basic skills and completion. The biggest problem with ESL is obviously this is not their native language. And so what we decided to do was fund them. We decided to say, you know what, we understand that this is hard, so we pushed funding for tutors, for ways for them to improve their competency for the English language. And from there, we also pushed for math boot camp. Math boot camp is very, very important for assessment testing. The thing that a lot of people undervalue is actually the initial assessment test. And I find that very interesting because there are statistics behind the assessment test that if they don't score high enough, that actually lowers their chance of succeeding at their goal. Because if you were to actually fall into, say, the learn sequence, there's actually such a small percent that actually complete the sequence, it's discouraging. And so we decided to fund the math boot camp. With this, we want to go and increase scores, and as we increase scores, we'll be able to get students more encouraged and have them complete more of their classes. The second to last is degree and certificate completion. We wanted to open the doors to CTE development opportunities. We also wanted to enhance job skills, and the last thing that we really wanted to highlight was actually digital arts. One thing that a lot of students don't have access to is that they don't have a lab at home or they don't have the software at home that is required to be really good or really succeed at what they do. So what we decided to fund was a shared lab where we have all of the supplies, all the things they need to be able to go and be very confident in what they do and really understand what they do. And transfer. Transfer is the final phase. Transfer is the biggest thing for a lot of students, and so what we really wanted to do was allocate enough funds so that they felt that they were ready to transfer, they felt knowledgeable, and they knew what they were doing. And so the two major things that we really funded was the Bridge program and the summer science transfer. These students will have many great opportunities with this. They'll be able to go to campuses, stay for a week. They'll be able to go on field trips to understand what they did, understand the process of transferring. And another thing that we had is the Dream and Honors program transfer. This is something that we really wanted to highlight because this goes into the underrepresented students within these programs, and we wanted them to really understand that we want them to transfer, we want them to succeed. And with that, it kind of falls under the transfer initiative. The transfer initiative is also part of those over the umbrella idea of transferring, that we want to assist people with low income to actually transfer. The activities focusing this is the big thing that it's part of the key goal indicators. It just requires more than one of them, and we got quite a few of these. And we funded two major interventions: disabled students and underserved students. These were very big for us because we wanted them to succeed, obviously. And we also funded things such as the TLC. We wanted to have a better staff, like always. We want to have people who are more sensitive to diversity, and that's what the TLC is what goes into that. We also have ongoing equity research, as always, something that we can always improve upon, something that we can continue to do throughout our years at Mount SAC. We also have the TURC, which we have opened to go and assist students that are under that field. Previously, we've had problems with excluding actually the very people that we were designed to help because it was so overran by certain majors. But now that we really plan to open the door to that and really allow everybody to come in. Financial literacy, like I said, it's much like the cash for college. We want students to be able to receive financial aid. We want them to be able to understand what they're doing. And so that's where this falls into place. And one of the last things I really want to point out here is the specialized programs. We want to fund many of the specialized programs for the select students so that they would have a better chance at succeeding and meeting their goals. The last thing I want to highlight is the student equity plan and coordination. The student equity plan obviously requires a lot of effort, and so what we want to do is we want to fund someone to actually facilitate that. We want to have someone that actually goes through it and knows what they're doing and will be able to make the process easier on a full-time basis.
So if you just step back and think of how does all this fit together, there are four distinct ways. One is, as Corey was saying, very specific targeted interventions for particular groups that are named by the state in terms of groups we should be targeting, but additional groups that we've also identified. So you'll see here where we have those various groups targeted with very specific services. Another area to look at is the fact that we've developed novel new initiatives, that we've really taken a good look at what we're doing, who we're not serving, and what we need to do to improve. So you'll see that we've developed a focus on minority males, an employment and development program, in-reach work, work preparedness skills, student leadership and diversity, and LGBTQ support. You'll see the students there. That's part of the Minority Male Initiative. And what they were doing was developing the plan for us. They met and told us what they want and need. And what he's writing there, it says peer-to-peer. Their focus is, for us to be successful as minority males, we need to be empowered to reach out to each other, which is what we're developing through the InReach and Student Ambassadors. So that's kind of that new approach. And then we need to not work in silos. So a good cross-collaboration across the campus between various departments and programs coming together so more than one program or area are working on these things. It's between instruction and student services and with all different discipline areas. And then the other thing to do is just to look at it as a major college-wide perspective, that there's some things that we're going to be doing that help us change institutionally. Anything from science and tech majors to completing basic skills and transfer course sequences. We heard the students talk about library hours. We will be opening on Sunday evenings, and we will be having more textbook rentals available to students. This whole notion of universal design, another way to train ourselves to be more welcoming and more equitable to all students. So our next steps is the approval process. As Dan reported earlier, we'll go to the Executive Board of the Senate tomorrow. We've secured support from John Llewellyn and the Classified Senate and Renee Jimenez from the Associated Students. And we'll be back at your January meeting to seek your approval. And then just in closing, we've done a lot to bring folks together to really look at student equity. We've continuously looked at the way we do things and how we need to change and what we can do to track our progress. We're looking at how we can gain more insights and more skills to do a better job of serving our students. But I think the most gratifying aspect is that the entire campus is not afraid to have a dialogue about equity, about which students are making it, which students aren't, what we know, what we don't know, and what we need to learn more about. And I think that puts us far ahead of other colleges who've never had those discussions but just have to sit down and write a plan. So a million thanks, because it takes more than a village to make this all happen. And there's a lot of folks to thank for a lot of hard work that they've put in. And this list is representative of faculty and managers and staff and students. And then lastly, kind of a picture, talking about student success and equity, this is the new building that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And you'll see in that building we will have some of the key programs you just saw, everything from DSPS to Foster Youth, Veterans, Bridge, ACES, and others, as well as our upcoming additional new building and the Equity Center. So we're open to any questions that you might have.
Very nice. Good work.
I guess I'll make one comment, and obviously there's so many different targeted groups, and even though you've got $5 million here apparently to play with, mm-hmm. I'm quite sure, you know, once you start realizing, you know, how many different categories and learning communities and cohorts, whatever, you can go after, that you can spend it pretty quick. But when you said, we know the bridge has been successful, we're talking about putting more money behind it, mm-hmm. but when you said you were going to increase it by 10% by the year 2020, I thought, that's a little underwhelming. Okay,
it is.
I thought, okay, maybe we're going to double it. We're going to do something, you know, radical. But I realize there's only so much money to go around. Okay.
And that particular model is very labor-intensive. But what we are doing
I've
is
written
developing
that down here. Labor-intensive. I know it is.
We're developing other models.
Okay.
So that students will have many different choices. Our goal would be to have the majority of freshman students start in the summer, enrolling in some kind of extended program. We have STEP initiative that we're looking to expand even further. So that's kind of like a two-week session, which bridges 6 weeks. So we're looking at many different options. We think that most of our students would benefit from starting in the summer rather than just kind of jumping right into fall. So that's a great example where we're combining the efforts of the student success plan and student equity, which is really the goal of the state, is to merge the two. So with student success, mm-hmm. we're looking at the orientation, the ed planning, the assessment, mm-hmm. and with student equity, to ensure that once they're here, that they're connected with the right services, that they're making a progress in completing their sequential coursework and basic skills and transitioning on to general ed and transfer level courses.
Yeah, I'm sure if you can achieve the same results more efficiently in some kind of way that won't be so, you know, expensive and labor intensive, that's great. And we'll have to experiment to see what mm-hmm. those possibilities are, mm-hmm. obviously. But it has been successful, and, you know, we need to build on that as much as we can, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, the work that's done here is really exemplary in student support, whether you take it on its own or certainly if you do as a comparison mm-hmm. across the state. There's a lot of work that's done there. The lack of equity among those targeted populations is, unfortunately going to continue for a little bit. The hope is that we make at least continuous improvement in terms of, the access issues and success, right? And I'm not going to broaden this question out too far, but on the Student Success Center, what will be the role of the instructional faculty in engaging in some of these activities?
Well, this particular building actually will house distinct programs. So Bridge mm-hmm. is very integrated between instruction and support services. So there's a lot of work with the faculty through that, as well as a high-tech center. Mm-hmm. The instructional aspect, assistive technology with the students and their learning together with the counseling support is all housed in there. DSPS lab has two doors, one that goes straight into the DSPS side, mm-hmm. the other one that goes into the Veterans Resource Center, so that those students can easily have access to that computer lab. So there are classrooms also, two small classrooms in the building, so that gives way for classes, for workshops, and lots of other activities to happen.
Yeah, and the reason kind of asking that is that we have these exemplary programs here, and, Aspire and, many others that are really working in a very positive direction. And, of course, we have some really strong instructional programs that work extremely well and very talented faculty. But it's just this thing about leveraging certainly the resource of the instructional faculty mm-hmm. to engage more fully in those equity issues.
So the STEM Center is a good example where mm-hmm. we had Aspire, Arise, and Bridge students actually have a session in the STEM Center run by the science faculty to talk with them about potential careers, about what they can do in the STEM Center. So I think that's a great example where we're crossing bridges, bringing students together, getting students to actually go to the mark, because it's a little intimidating if you're afraid of math to go into a place where everybody's only doing math mm-hmm. and you're afraid of that. But to build that confidence up through these linkages, more and more students are actually going there as a destination to get assistance. So there's a lot of cross-pollination.
Sure, there's a lot of work, mm-hmm. and as someone who teaches in the discipline, you've got to teach the content and the material that goes with any type of discipline. But I think that, there's a great deal of interest in faculty, the instructional faculty, to engage in these things that will make students more successful, aside from simply the content and material that we engage them in.
We're developing a teaching learning center, and Irene can
The teaching learning center will be funded and developed, and the theme there really is developing cultural competency with the faculty, to provide opportunity to learn and to ask questions and to really explore how to meet student needs in new ways and how to recognize student needs. So I'm pleased that the center is being established, but that it has a stated theme from the beginning, is to support the equity efforts and to empower the faculty to feel confident in stepping in and meeting the needs of these students that have been left behind for too long.
Yeah. No, it's great work. Thank you both for the presentation.
Thank you.
Good job. Any other comments? Any more report, Dr. Scraggins?
So that was actually the information item that's in your agenda rather than part of the president's report.
Oh, okay. All right. So we can move forward to consent calendar now. Item to be pulled, number 2, number 4, and number 6.
Any other item my colleagues want to pull?
9, 11, and 12.
11 and 12.
I heard 9 as well.
9, 11, and 12.
I think you're not actually pulling number 4.
It's just remove.
Removing
Number 2, 4, and 6.
Removing number 2, 4, and 6?
Yeah. Correct, Denise?
I think you're only removing number 4.
Right, yes. 2, 4, 6.
That was main table.
There's a difference between pulling. Pulling means you're going to discuss it in an act.
Okay, so somebody gave me a note saying pulling number 2 and number 6.
That is correct.
Yes.
For discussion.
Oh, for discussion.
So
okay,
is
so
being
but
removed from the agenda.
Removed from the agenda is item number 4.
Yes,
okay,
right.
And then pull for discussion is 2, 6, 9, 11, and 12.
Correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
All right. So
can I make a motion then?
Yes, go ahead.
Let me make a motion to approve the consent calendar. Except for items 2, 6, 9, 11, and 12, and table for discussion at next board meeting, item number 4.
So you, Trustee Hall?
Actually, I'd rather you just
remove
it from
okay.
the agenda.
Okay, we'll move from the agenda. Okay,
we have some work to do to bring
okay,
it back.
So I will then, I guess, make a motion that we pull from the consent calendar for discussion items 2, 6, 9, 11, and 12.
You move for approval,
yeah.
Except
you could remove
item
it
2, 4.
Yeah. And, just
and remove from the agenda, I assume, and we would say
do we
entirely.
Need a vote for yeah. Removal of item number 4?
You can make it all in one motion. Pull for discussion and remove from the agenda.
Yeah.
Once you mentioned to pull, and number 4, remove from the agenda and pass the remainder. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
second.
We got it.
Denise okay. will make it look pretty.
Yeah.
So, so I'll call for the vote. All right.
Ready. It's consent. So moved. Don't forget our student trustee.
Student trustee. All right. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Except those items mentioned, the consent calendar, rest of the items are approved. So now number 2.
Yeah. Let me make a motion.
Okay.
Let me make a motion that we approve consent item number 2.
Second.
Any second?
Second.
Okay, second by Trustee Baca. All right, so discussion.
I ask that to be removed, and if I had time earlier this afternoon, I'm sure I could have dealt with this outside of this this evening's meeting, but it's clear to me as I go through not only this item, but many other items that we have a new powerful member of the team, Teresa Patterson, whose name's not only signature here, but a lot of other things that have been written on items this evening. And I must confess, it's kind of gone over my head as to what her title is and who she's working for and why she's become so important to this organization. So I thought I would just ask somebody to explain to me what's going on, okay?
Okay. I'd be happy to address the board. You'll notice that the bulk of the changes are removing Karen Saldana, who is our risk manager.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, we didn't have a director of purchasing. We just had an interim person. Now that Teresa is the permanent director of purchasing, it's important for her to be the signature on here and Karen not to be. And so this is pretty standard operating procedure. And so every one of those that you look at where it says there's a change. That change is removing Karen and adding Teresa as our director of purchasing.
Okay. I didn't want to insult her. She might be sitting right next to Rosa right now.
She is right
and I'm
now.
Thinking that's probably her.
Sure.
Okay.
That's Teresa.
I just want to be sure, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
So that's what it's all about.
It made sense, but I just wanted to clarify this. Okay. So anyway, I'm glad I can see you become a very important
very
person around
part.
Here, and
very
I just wanted to. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I knew who this person was.
Without her, you wouldn't have a chair to sit in.
And a lot of other stuff.
Okay. All right, any other comment?
Or a reception to run, or a lot of other stuff.
A lot of other stuff.
Okay, anyway, that's all I wanted to clarify.
Okay, I'm sorry, I wanted to also pull for discussion on item 24. Is that possible?
Well, we have a motion. On the floor right now, we should do number two.
I don't know when
first.
It's appropriate
let's
to mention
Let's vote for
that.
Number two first.
There, okay.
There would be two ways to proceed. You could ask to discuss it, even though it's approved. There's nothing wrong with discussing it if you're not objecting to it being passed, because it's already been passed.
Right.
We'd have to undo that action and redo it.
Well, at least a discussion, and then maybe
if it gets to the point where you want to change it, then you will undo what was done before.
Right, then we can pass a motion at that point.
Yes.
We can discuss it first.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, that's my discussion. I don't know if there's
any other comment on item number two? If not, we'll call for the question, student trustee. Okay, those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye, opposed. Okay, number two on consent calendar is approved. You want to talk about item number 24?
No, proceed through
six.
Six is next.
Okay, number six, motion, please.
I move to approve consent item number six, again, because I asked that it be pulled
all right.
for discussion.
Any second?
Second.
By Trustee Chaka. Okay.
Discussion. Yeah, and the only reason I wanted first here's Teresa Patterson again. That has nothing to do why I pulled it, Teresa. but it has to do with the fact that I just wanted again a little clarification, whether it's from Gary or Teresa or anybody else, as to when we draw the line on when we have to go to a competitive bidding process versus where we can kind of say that. We've done business with these people before. We trust them. They do good work, et cetera, et cetera. Just kind of just clarify for me, because we've got a couple of reasonably large items here, $83,000, corporate business interiors, Teresa? And then the next page, $52,000, and, some others. So just kind of come up and make sure I understand where this threshold is, where we should be looking at a competitive bidding process and where we aren't. Is that reasonable request? Okay.
This is Teresa.
Okay. Yes, I figured that out. Okay.
Okay. Well, basically, we have on this agenda item the large items. Our bid limit is $86,100 currently.
Okay.
It'll be going up again in January.
Okay.
We're actually piggybacking off of two of our existing RFPs that were done about 3 or 4 years ago. We'll be looking at going back out for new RFPs at the end of the five-year term. And then you'll see a lot of the purchases are off of the CMAS, which is allowed in the public contract code. We can purchase from CMAS without going out to bid. And those are state competitively bid by the state.
Okay.
It's like a giant warehouse.
Right.
CMAS.
Anything off of that.
They're basically competitively bid federal contracts, and then they can apply to be included on the CMAS schedule.
And so is there any kind of limit as to the point at which you again cross the threshold and say, even though it's CMAS, it's so large, you've got to engage in competitive bidding or not?
There's no limit to purchase off of CMAS.
Okay.
We do have our bid limit. For instance, the CBI, again, it's piggybacking off of two of our RFPs that we had previously gone out for, and it's still under the bid limit at that.
And you said our own internal number or something here is like 86,100.
Right.
And you said that would be going up this
next. That's set by the state.
That's set by the state.
And how much would you expect it to go up next year?
It varies. I would say maybe 2%.
Okay.
Approximately.
Yeah, I just want to have some clarification about how this works. Okay.
All right.
My question.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you. All right. So I'll call for the vote. Student trustee?
I concur.
Okay. Thank you. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Number six passed. Now, number nine.
I'm not sure.
I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to pass number nine.
Okay. And second, by?
I'll second.
By.
So my question is similar to Dr. Hall's. Here we have a pretty big no-bid contract, I guess, $640,000. So my question is, you know, it says here that we're making 30 to 45% overall savings, but I'd like to get a little bit of clarity on how we are certain of that when we don't actually have a bid process at least documented here. You know, I'd feel more comfortable approving this if I knew the background behind that. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we are purchasing secondhand, please take a seat. We're purchasing secondhand products, some that have only been used once, which to me is like, well, why would they just use it once and want to sell it to us? So I'm wondering, these are very sophisticated pieces of equipment and these things tend to break. So if we're buying it secondhand, what are the warranties? What are the guarantees that this stuff will actually work, or are we buying it as is? And if it breaks, maybe it's better for us to buy something that's new versus something that's secondhand.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I don't have the warranty information for you tonight. This was all vetted by by Bill Eastham, our technical services director, and they had gone through their research in looking at the different products. So that's where the information had come from. So it's basically a single source procurement. Yes, it exceeds the bid limits, but again, there's no competitive advantage to go out to bid because it's used equipment. You couldn't compare, and then the time frame that it would take, you know, you wouldn't be able to procure the used equipment. But it is my understanding they are warrantied. As far as why it was used once, I don't have that information, but I can certainly get it.
Mike, do you have any? I mean, Bill. Yeah,
that's right. On target. Bill Eastham, our director of technical services, is the expert on campus on this type of equipment. Is this going to go in the truck?
Yes, in the new production.
Yeah,
trailer.
We're buying a new. One of the things you'll be seeing here too, we're buying a new production truck, and what we're trying to do is outfit it and stay within the $1.9 million that we've allocated for it. He knows some of the people who, in it, I think is what he told me. And we'll verify that and send the board an email. But a different technology was used by the broadcast industry, but this works perfectly for us. And it's a huge upgrade over what we have in the truck now. And so when you go in and try to outfit a truck, you know, we're spending $640,000. My guess is it was $1.6 million to $2 million for the same stuff, and this is just as good, if not maybe even better in some cases. But we'll get something to Dr. Scroggins that he can share with the boards just so that you get a really good understanding of this.
Okay. And there is a warranty. You say you don't know specifics, but...
But we'll put that information in the memo.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dan would have a...
Somebody got to turn that off.
Dan, do you have something to add to this?
Yes, I do.
It's not on.
Hit it again. There we go. I'm Professor of Film and Television, so this is something I've been working with Bill Eastham actually on, and something I've been dealing with for as a manager since Reagan was president. And there's a couple things in here. One is one-time use often indicates what we call B stock. It was used as a demonstration model, and then when the convention is over, they can't show it off as new anymore. And then you also have a number of items that are a certain price range no matter what. So last year's Panasonic 370 camera, I now have the ads for the 470 camera. But that 470 has to sell at the same price, so now that 370 just got discounted by maybe 40%. And so what we're doing is we're buying just the last generation of things and saving quite often a lot of money in that fashion. And the students are able to work on something that maybe is only a year old as they go into intern and so forth. They're dealing with quite often equipment that is what they were just working on. The stations, the film production companies don't necessarily have the latest thing either. So it'll be good for the students and it will save us money.
Do you feel comfortable with the warranty issue, the reliability of it, the warranty of it, et cetera? How's that work?
Yes, I mean, we take good care of the equipment. We have our engineers on staff to do minor repairs should those things happen. And so most of our repairs are done in-house, and the maintenance is something they can handle as well.
Okay. Any other question, comment? All right. So we'll go for the vote. Student trustee.
I concur.
All right. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, item number 9 passes. Item number 11. Motion, please.
Second.
Any second?
Second.
All right. Discussion.
So my question on this was the change workers, and it's similar to the following item that I pulled. And I'm going to try to, you know, ask some questions before meetings as well to get this clarified. But, you know, we have a change order here of 12%. The next one is 21%. In my experience, change orders, you know, in excess of 10%, that's when you start to look and say, hey, you know, what's going on? So my question is, are these change orders the result of, I guess, scope creep? Are we adding things on? As a result, we are expanding, you know, the cost? Or are we running into issues and therefore we have to actually get this done? So, you know, here I see one item where we're adding 2 skylights, which to me might think, okay, maybe we added this on later, or maybe there are things that are being triggered.
Good evening. Consent item 11 is for change orders to the renovation of our information technology and public safety building. It's a project that has been in the works for about 2.5 years. The majority of the changes, item 1 and item 2, have to do with changes that were made to accommodate the growth and changes in our public safety department between the time the project was designed and when it's being built. So they are added scope items, but those added scope items, of course, are very carefully vetted, as are the costs of each line item. There are some things that have to do with some improvements made to the design of the building, like soundproof. That's item 2, which means we're just building a better quality building than what we had before. That building was built about 15 years ago.
Okay.
Public safety is a unit on campus that's about to go undergo a pretty big change.
Right.
This is
When we did the design, we were working with an interim director of public safety. So when Dave Wilson came on, we worked with him to make some adjustments to the scope of the project.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other questions? All right, student trustee?
I concur.
All right, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Consent item number 11 passes.
12.
Item number 12, motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion?
My question here was similar.
This change has to do with an infrastructure project on the college farm. There's a retaining wall that was constructed some time ago that needed to be replaced with a more structurally sound retaining wall. The old one actually kind of collapsed. In the excavation to install the new retaining wall, we encountered an old asbestos water line. And so, you know, it's a very small project. So the cost to upgrade that water line and move it was significant when expressed as a percentage of the project cost. But it was in our best interest to work with a contractor that was already mobilized on the site. So we we saw some savings, some significant savings by working with that contractor rather than just going out to bid for a separate contract to put to redo this water line. So in the long run, there were some savings there. But again, when you see it as a percentage, because the project is so small, you see that 20% number, and it's understandable to question that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Call for the vote, student trustee. All right. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? 12 passes. Okay. Can I talk about 24?
Yes.
What do we do with the, or just discussion?
Just discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. I meant to pull this also for discussion, but I was wondering if I have an obligation on the 27th. So is it possible to have that study session date either a week before or first week of March?
Wow. Well.
But it's, you know, if it's,
yeah, it's
difficult, then that's fine. I can work with this. I'm just wondering if it's possible, then that'd be great. Not.
I guess I, you know, since I was sitting as president, at the time we put this together, I know how difficult it is for people to lay aside virtually a whole day on their calendars for the board study session. I know how much angst Denise goes through to try find something open on about 8 or 9 calendars, and that just includes the board members and the president, and then of course that all filters down to the other, you know, vice presidents who are going to show up. So all I'm going to say, Jay, is if there's any way humanly possible, you can make this without our going back through that mm-hmm. process and sending Denise back through the ringer again.
Well, don't worry about the staff.
Don't worry about
we'll
me.
Okay. We'll accommodate what
okay.
you need as
a okay.
It's not an issue of the availability of
okay.
staff. We'll be
but
available.
It's well, is it a day-long kind of commitment? Is it
it's a
reserve
weekend
commitment?
Long,
what is it? I just
weekend-long commitment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I might have, maybe you brought this date up with me, and I said it was okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I'm fine with testing it out, see if we're able to affect
yeah.
a change.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, you know.
I'm willing to look at it.
We may end
and
up.
I assume the board members are as well. Okay.
You know, we could run into conflicts with other times as well, but mm-hmm. for some other folks. But I think, you know,
we can do
testing,
that.
Testing
we'll,
it,
we'll
out,
try.
See,
it out,
see what
we'll
it
see.
Is. I'll try.
Okay.
We'll see if we can do.
Yeah, okay.
The very
all right.
much from that will be a problem with
yeah.
us
mm-hmm.
in terms of the flow of the work of the college, but we can certainly check the with the weekend of the Saturday before and the Saturday after be all right. Check.
Yeah.
Start running it. See what happens.
I have
yeah.
to look at
see
my
what?
Calendar.
Start running
yeah,
it.
We'll run that
yeah.
by you.
All right.
I'll call out for
we can make the
dates.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's move forward to action items. Number one, consideration of approval of the audit reports from Vincent E. Lloyd Stutzman, CPA, for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2015, relating to books and records of the Mount San Antonio College District, financial aid, Mount SAC Auxiliary Services Corporation, and we have the document and we heard the report. So may I have a motion, please?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All right. Student trustee? All right. Those in favor, action item number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Action item number one, approve. Action item number two, consideration of approval of appointment. Edmund, Denise, you got to help me out here. I thought it was Bader.
Yeah.
I thought it was your relative.
We call each other cousins, actually.
Bedard. And
Bedard.
Alter Skinner, the business from as a business community representatives. And reappointment of Andrew Jarrett, Joshua Acevedo, Chester Sasaki is
as a business community representatives, Suzanne Gomez, senior citizen organization representative, Paul Massabout, taxpayer association representative, Jonathan Ortiz, students organization representative to Citizen Oversight Committee effective January 1st, 2016 through December 31st, 2017. It's a backup package 68 to 69. Motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Trustee Bader, second by Trustee Laura Santos. Discussion.
I had a question about how we were making opportunities like these known in the community.
Well, we distribute the information to email through an email blast, and we have the opportunity for board members to make appointments, and we post it on our website.
Okay. So we how many can we appoint to this?
There really isn't a limit.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no upper limit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are we supposed to, as board members, bring forward people? Is that part of our responsibility?
It is.
Recommended. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Are there any vacancies at this point, or are all the positions filled?
We, our typical size is 14, and I think this gets us to 14. Is that 13.
But there are other. That
13 is there.
Yeah. I think we have one pending.
We have one.
One pending.
Yeah.
One application.
But we can go above
14.
Yeah. There's no reason we can't.
Yeah.
Find a good person.
We can work with things.
Yeah. I guess the only thing, we just have to make sure that it doesn't get so large that we've got a problem getting a quorum. Mm-hmm. That would be an issue. Okay. Potentially, is that right? Okay, so, but other than that, I don't see a problem with people adding.
Okay.
Yeah, I think geographic diversity is really important.
Yeah, I agree.
So, make sure that we have someone from Hacienda Heights represented, and I think all of us should make sure there's someone from their communities, because if we decide to go out for a bond later, these are going to be ambassadors.
Yeah. Correct.
They can save us a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ready to vote, student trustee? All right. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Action number two passes. Action number three. Consideration of approval of a proposal to initiate CSEA Chapter 651 negotiations for second year reopener agreement for July 1st, 2014 through June 30th, 2017. Backup information on page 70 and 71. Motion, please.
Just stay with me.
It didn't come up.
Yeah, just stay with me.
Mm-hmm. I'll move.
I'll second.
Okay. Questions? Discussion? All right. None? Okay, student trustee. All right, those in favor, action item number three, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, number three passes. Action item number four, consideration of approval of continuing education building 40 upgrades, and it's bid number 3064 to 3066. And place holder there. And it's also page 72. Motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right. Any discussion?
Well, I'm quickly looking at the placeholder, which I think everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should have. Okay. In front of them.
Yeah.
Does everybody have one? Jay, you have one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Any discussion?
So, Gary, this is broken into pieces, obviously. It says, because you've got three different
bid amounts here. But it did go the lowest bidder in all three categories. Is that?
Yes, we're using the multiple prime construction delivery method for this project, but each of the three prime contracts are bid, and we're taking the low bidder in each of the three cases.
Okay. We're going to get new classrooms, which we need for all the students that want to come to Mount Saint.
This is really an interesting project. This building has been used for all kinds of different uses over the years. Our continuing education non-credit programs occupy about half of the building, but we've used the building for math classrooms when we were building our math building, and administrative services, fiscal services, when we were remodeling our administration building. And there's three or four other uses.
Yeah. So is this one of the Butler buildings?
It is.
This is the Butler?
It is. It's okay. The modular building, Butler building by the farm area.
Is this the one below the agricultural sciences?
Yes,
new
exactly.
Building, the one down the hill from that?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we're taking classrooms that were sized for 50, 60 students, 70 students, and we're right-sizing them to 35, 40. We're upgrading the communications technology, AV technology, learning technology in the building. And then by right-sizing, we'll be able to utilize the space more efficiently and educate more students.
How much more life is there in that building, do you
think? Well, with this project, we're doing that work, but we're also upgrading the mechanical systems, okay, which are worn out. So by tying this building into our central plant, we'll get another 20 years out of it.
And we added bathrooms last month.
Bathrooms are good.
Bathrooms for the first time?
Yeah.
Well, there's some in there, but not enough for the use that
okay.
we have.
So.
We're adding restrooms as well.
We really need them.
And, this is very, very inexpensive if you look at the cost per square foot relative to what we usually build. So it's a good value for the college.
So how long has that building been there?
It's been there about 20 years.
Okay.
And those buildings aren't really made to last 50, 75 years like most of our school buildings. Mm-hmm. So we're repurposing it. The mechanical aspect of it is the largest cost, and that's really the biggest thing that we're able to do. Tying that into the central plant, it basically pays for itself in 15 years compared to the cost of using the kind of mechanical system that we have there now.
And moving the walls around screws up the HVAC system, something terrible. So this is really important to get this.
Okay.
So the rooms are usable.
Yes, and so, they'll be almost as good or as close to the level of quality as we would put into our new buildings as we can get in this kind of a building.
Yeah.
Okay, so this will go down to Mount Sac history, kind of like the Quonset huts that just kind of went on and on and on and on for a while.
If we remodel it many more times, we'll just put wheels on the walls and just move them around.
Okay. All right. Any other discussions? Okay. Student trustee? All right. Those in favor, action item number 4, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Action item number 4 passes. Action item number 5, consideration of approval to appoint a representative to the 2015-16 Los Angeles County School Trustees Association backup packet, page 73. Motion, please.
I'll move.
Any second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. Or we want to nominate someone. Is that what we were going to do?
Yes. The action is to actually select someone.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I would like to nominate Laura Santos.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second that.
So we vote on that?
You do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we vote on have trustee Laura Santos to revisit us to the
LACS.
Yeah.
Who's it currently?
Pardon me?
I usually am because I'm the one that goes to the meetings, but of course if...
No. She is.
Well, and
And you are still a director right now on the association. Are you
right?
Not a director?
You are the director, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that letterhead, and her name is on the letterhead.
Okay. Right.
But
now she can represent us officially by this action. Okay.
Well, I'm a director, so I vote at the board of directors, but each district appoints somebody to go to the membership meetings and vote for them. So it doesn't have to be me just because I'm on the board of directors. So, but, you know, usually I go to the meetings, so, but.
I think you'd be great.
Yeah, so okay. But if somebody else wants to do it, that's fine too.
That won't, unanimous now.
That won't mess with me being a director. So, okay.
All right.
Are we getting invites through our email for when those meetings are?
I think we do, right?
Yes.
Did we get them? Okay. Yeah. I think my email system is down, so that's why I didn't.
I think they send the information through our Mangsac trustee.
All through the trustee.
So you have to check that email address.
Okay.
Yeah, that email box. I do receive it.
Quarterly?
I think we have 3 or 4 a year.
Okay. Yeah. So.
I used to go.
Are you interested in?
No, I used to go in the past, but I haven't gone
I
recently.
I think you were one of the directors.
Yeah,
we surfed together a long time ago. Okay.
So ready to vote for Trustee Santos? Trustee student? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, item number 5 passes. Information we already received, equity plan. That was a great report. That's it? All right.
Hang on, Gavin.
This is our last meeting. Happy New Year. See you next year.
Okay. Oh, do I have to fill this out?
Correct.
We don't have too much to carry out of it. I can remember a few Christmases.
I know. We had boxes and boxes. Well, it's because Irene didn't bring her avocados.
I guess you want me to fill this out.
Yeah.
I don't think
the weekend after is putting on a Hicks.
I want to see what you've been there. I need to take away.
Yeah, so we can't.
I'm tired.
You know how many pair of reading glasses I have lost?
I'm not going to take this.
That's why I threw my chair.
Oh, yeah, I got it on. Yeah. I have the address. Yeah, I have it.